Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on board with us. Happy, I guess we could say, post-Christmas Day. If you guys are like us, you probably are going to keep your Christmas lights going for the next couple of weeks because it's the best time of the year. We hope, though, you did enjoy your holiday, of course. It's always an incredible time, of course, on Christmas. Get to spend it with your loved ones, family, and then eat great food. Eat great food. Folks, we've been doing a lot of catching up over here. We want to make sure we caught you guys up on some of our favorite interviews that we've done thus far on the American Journal. And there's a lot to go through, a lot to reflect on, and a lot of interviews we want to make sure that you guys saw. Now, folks, we have a lineup of incredible guests that join me quite often, and it's very, very eventful when they come on the show. What I'm referring to here is Stuart Rhodes joined me in studio. We did about an hour-long interview where we hashed out all of the latest that we needed to know regarding, you know, the treasonous pigs who are still lodged into the Trump administration, the fight to bring justice for J6ers. So much we covered with Stuart Rhodes when he was in studio with me just a couple of weeks ago. And if you missed the interview, it's definitely a great one. So you're going to want to buckle up because that one you're going to want to catch. You're also going to want to catch the great interview we did with, we got a lot of them coming your way, Senator Tommy Tuberville. Now the senator, he's got all of the, I'd say, right people going after him because he's outspoken and he's looking to protect this country because he knows we're a Christian nation. And he's looking to preserve just that. Senator Tommy Tuberville joined us, and it actually made local news over in Alabama. So you're going to want to buckle up for this one because he says a lot of things that they don't want you to see. And we're just fearless. We're going to keep showing you. We're also going to have Joseph McBride, the interview done with him. Now, he's an incredible attorney who defended several January 6th defendants throughout the persecution that took place under the Biden regime. He joined us to specifically blow the lid on the J6 nonsense, the lies, the pipe bomb arrest. Many of us don't believe that the suspect who's been apprehended is a suspect at all. McBride weighs in because he knows J6 better than anyone because he had to defend so many Americans during that persecution. We're also, I mean, might as well, since we're on the topic of January 6th, we might as well keep it going. Enrique Atario joined us earlier in the show because earlier this month, I should say, because there's a lot going on over at the DOJ, or say a lack of productive things going on at the DOJ, because sadly the prosecutor who put him on trial and the allegation she's facing is a lot of corruption and doing things that attorneys aren't supposed to do. Well, Tario joined us to call all of that out, but it's important because you got to listen to this one, because that prosecutor is not the prosecutor for the J6 pipe bomber suspect. Yeah. Yeah. So she has a history of getting dirty when it comes to trying to persecute people. And we'll play that and all the allegations she's currently facing. Plus, also, we got an update for you on Doge, raw egg nationalist. He's one of the incredible, incredible reporters we have over on Infowars.com. He joins us. And it's always a blessing when he does, because there's so many stories that he's diving into and stories you probably didn't even know about regarding Maha and other things that he just completely gives the rundown on. And he's going to join us also as well on that front. And let me tell you something. Every time we have raw egg nationalists on, I always learn something new. Always. So this interview that we're going to play for you guys is a great one because it's just another day where I learned so much from this guy, and it's absolutely incredible when he joins us to do just that. All right, so we got a lot that we're going to be discussing in just a bit. In the meantime, though, I wanted to let you all know we did just recently launch The Ultimate Power. It's over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're someone trying to boost your energy, focus, blood flow, endurance, and so much more, you're going to want to snag a bottle of this. It is an incredible formula that we have. It tastes amazing. And most importantly, it's natural caffeine. So it's about 100 milligrams. And that's equivalent, in case you're wondering, to about one cup of coffee. So head on over right now to the Alex Jones store and make sure you snag yourself a couple. And the reason why I say a couple is because when you get three bottles, you get 30% off. When you get two, you get 20% off. And then when you get one, you just get 10% off. So the more you buy, the more you save over at thealexjonesstore.com. So make sure you do just that. Also, with every purchase you make, you get about 100 entries to win the Ford Raptor that we have up right now, plus potentially $10,000 in cash. I mean, what an investment that you guys could be making right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over to the shop and make sure you snag some items. All right, we got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. A lot of stories to run through to make sure you didn't miss out on these. So buckle up. We got a full show ahead. Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screams got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired. Unfocused slow, but I crack the code. Now the voltage flows. Clear.
Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate power at thealexshowstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, third hour of the program. We're kicking that off right now. A lot going on, and we're trying to, you know, keep your attention, too. We obviously have been covering extensively what's going on in regards to Ukraine and Russia, the peace deal that might actually be coming finally to an agreement. Ukraine, apparently, according to reports, has agreed so far to the plan that President Trump has brought forward, but Russia has not agreed to it yet. The White House saying that they're still working on both sides of this and have not yet confirmed, but White House officials telling the media that, yes, there is a Ukrainian approval to this so far. So we're getting closer because obviously President Trump did apply a lot of pressure to the Ukrainian side, saying he got until Thanksgiving to accept my peace plan. And obviously they are feeling the pressure, but Ukraine taking out a lot of key elements to this, that is very likely that Russia will not accept. And so we'll continue to follow it as it develops, of course, all day on InfoWars. But most importantly, also, we're following another story, and it has to do with Doge. Now, there was a report that came out that Doge was no longer in existence. It was shuttered about 8 months sooner than expected. And then there's also people now coming out saying, no, it's not completely gone away, that each department is opening up or has their own Doge division. Do you really trust these departments to investigate themselves? I don't. But again, there's a lot more details coming out. Joining me now to discuss is Raw Egg Nationalist. He's been covering this story over at InfoWars.com, and he joins us now to detail the very latest regarding Doge and if it's making a comeback or not. Raw Egg Nationalist, thank you for being here, my friend. We're excited to have you on. I want you to walk us through this latest report because there's a lot of back and forth. Doge is no longer. No, Doge is changing a little bit. What are you hearing on the very latest?
It's good to be back with you, Brianna. So, yes, it looks like Doge is no more. That's mm-hmm. There have been reports. There was a Reuters report where they spoke to somebody at the Office of Personnel Management, and he said, look, yeah, Doge just doesn't exist anymore. You know, it's done its job. We're taking over the main functions of Doge. They're being incorporated into other departments, but mainly the Office of Personnel Management. Elon Musk stepped back from Doge months ago. And then, of course, there was that spectacular blowout where he and Trump were accusing each other of various things, including, mm-hmm. being on Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Island and Pedophile Island, whatever you want to call it. So it's not clear at the moment, but there are, I mean, individual states now, including Florida, are creating their own versions of Doge to audit state finances and state government. So that's one potentially positive development, but it's all up in the air. It's not clear. There are mixed messages, conflicting signs. And it's quite hard to know actually really, what kind of effect Doge has actually had. I mean, there were big claims in the summer that, Doge had managed to clear something like $180 billion in savings, cost cutting, which amounted to something like, I think, $1,100 per taxpayer in the US in terms of savings. But actually, that hasn't really been verified. I mean, that's a claim that Doge made on its website, but it's hard to substantiate whether that's true or not. So, at this stage, yeah, I mean, it's difficult to know. That's the simple answer. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and I think that's the important angle to all of this because they haven't really been out there telling us what's going on and what's the very latest on it. So that's the part that's been kind of frustrating to deal with. And again, there's no real, right, they're saying that they're cutting all the spending, but there's nothing happening legislatively or even at the DOJ level to investigate what Doge has uncovered. Maybe that they're doing investigations, but it's nothing that's led to anything of substance. We don't have any arrests. We don't have any types of claims that are being made by the DOJ right now. And so, although they'll probably, if we were to ask, tell us if they are looking into it like they always do, there's nothing of substance happening here. And it's incredibly I'll just say disheartening to see all of the hard work that was done by these great employees of Doge just kind of fall flat here. So I think a lot of Americans, it was one thing that we were able to all get behind, but unfortunately now I think a lot of us are really, really upset because nothing has come of any of this.
One thing, though, I think that's important, Brianna, is that Doge really did expose the extent to which the U.S. government was, maybe not a Ponzi scheme, but was a scheme actually to divert U.S. taxpayer money overseas. You know, the whole USAID thing. I mean, USAID was shut down, but also just exposing the level of deceit and fraud that was taking place within the U.S. government, the amounts of taxpayer money that were being sent abroad for the most insane schemes, the most insane, you know, sort of like, you know, transgender theater groups in Kazakhstan and all this, you know, stuff that's scarcely believable, but it was real. And hundreds of millions, billions of dollars were being shipped abroad to pay for this kind of stuff when actually, you know, that money could have been spent at home. So even just exposing the level of corruption, the staggering level of corruption and extraction from the U.S. taxpayer, I think that was a very, very noble thing that Doge did. And even if, you know, the Doge savings aren't codified, if there isn't a kind of legislative push behind it, which there should be, and I would really like there to be, then at least Doge has showed the American people, look, this is actually how corrupt government has been. And I think that's a real service in and of itself.
Yeah. No, it truly, truly is. And it's frustrating. I want to see those NGOs be brought to justice because there was allegations. Many have accused these NGOs of funneling a lot of the money back to politicians who continuously gave them the funding. And so I'd like to see the digging into that because that is our money. And it shouldn't be involved in any of that, of course. But I want to kind of switch gears a little bit because you also had a story that I didn't see anywhere else in regards to Antifa members being convicted of the first ever terrorism prosecution. You've outlined this over at Infowars.com where five of these members have been convicted on terrorism offenses for their part in an ambush attack that took place in an ICE facility in Texas on the 4th of July. I mean, this seems like this, I didn't even know this happened this quickly in regards to bringing them forward to face justice and to have their criminal trial. What is the latest on this? This is a bombshell.
Yeah, this is good. So, Andy Ngo, did actually report on this. So I was following some of his reporting on this. He's been a very, very, he's been a great, voice on Antifa, investigative journalist, you know, really going almost, you know, deep undercover, actually, and putting himself at risk. He had to flee the US to the UK because he was receiving so many threats, credible threats from Antifa. But yes, this is a good development. So five Antifa members have accepted a plea deal. They pled guilty to terrorism charges to avoid life sentences. So I think they've got sentences of about 14, 15 years in prison for this attack that took place, a planned attack that they planned using encrypted messaging apps. They were circulating surveillance photos. They dressed up in uniform. They took weapons. They attacked an ICE facility in Texas. And they've finally been brought to justice for it. And there are, I think, nine other Antifa members who are currently facing charges for this attack. So it's the very first sign, really, that the Trump administration is taking Antifa as a terrorist group seriously, which is what they are and which is what people have been saying for a long time. I mean, you know, you've got people in the mainstream media leftists saying, oh, Antifa doesn't even exist. Antifa is just, it's just code for, you know, people who don't like fascists. Well, actually, as this trial shows, Antifa is a terrorist organization. It is divided up into recognizable groupings, cells like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda, like other terrorist groups. It functions in the same way as other terrorist groups. And hopefully, with President Trump having designated Antifa now not only a domestic terror organization, but also overseas branches as foreign terrorist organizations like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda, then perhaps what we're going to see, and I really do hope that we see this, is a broader push by the DOJ actually to break up this terrorist organization nationwide. We need more prosecutions. You know, these people are the radical foot soldiers of the left. They dox, they intimidate, they assault, they even murder people. And they have to be brought to heel, because otherwise they're just going to continue to be emboldened. They're going to continue to do things like attack immigration facilities. And, you know, when you have a situation like in 2020, the summer of Floyd, and you have the backing of the Democrat Party, the official backing of the Democrat Party, then, you know, they went to work on a national level, and they terrorized cities right across the nation and brought the nation to a standstill, and probably actually helped decide the fate of Donald Trump's re-election campaign. So the stakes are very, very high, but this is an encouraging sign. This is potentially the first step of towards more prosecutions and the eventual breakup, perhaps, of Antifa as a group.
Yeah, and that's very important. And so we're excited to see that there's some type of movement on this. It's a very important issue, of course, and we'll continue to follow it. But that is great, great news. I want to switch things up, though, to the MAHA movement, because there's a story that I actually haven't seen anywhere else, and you've actually covered this one. So I want to hear your take on it and get some more information about how microplastics are actually really maybe possibly more to blame than cholesterol when it comes to heart disease. Now, obviously, so many Americans are going to be very curious about this because, again, we talk about it here on InfoWars, microplastics, for years now. But the cholesterol angle, that actually might be more to blame, is quite interesting. Give us all the details on that one.
Yes. So this is a very, very interesting study that was just released. It's a rodent study. So it's not a study of humans. But what they did was they showed that if you expose rodents, if you expose rats to microplastics at concentrations that are environmentally relevant, so that means concentrations you'd find, you know, in the world, normal kind of background concentrations, then actually it speeds the development of arterial plaques, which are these build-ups inside the arteries that eventually clog the arteries and reduce blood flow to the brain or the heart, leading to either a heart attack or a stroke. So the researchers actually were able to demonstrate, look, there is a link between exposure to microplastics and the early stages of heart disease. Now, there was another study that was done last year where researchers looked at samples from plaques taken from humans who had heart disease, and they discovered that I think it was 58% of the plaques had microplastics in them. So the actual tissue had microplastics in it. And those who had microplastics in the plaques, in their, you know, in their arteries, I think it was the neck artery, were something like 4.5 times more likely to have a heart attack, a stroke, or die within 36 or 34 months. So there's already there's a growing body of research suggesting a clear link between exposure to microplastics and heart disease. The cholesterol thing is interesting, of course, because cholesterol, the lipid heart hypothesis, as it's known, has been linked to heart disease for decades. And it was the dominant explanation. You eat saturated fat and cholesterol in your diet, it clogs up your arteries, you have a heart attack or a stroke. Well, that's actually largely been debunked now. I mean, it was bad science in the beginning. And the reason that it was accepted was largely because actually it had money from margarine manufacturers and food groups like Procter & Gamble. But it was the dominant explanation. It's been debunked. And now, so what we're doing really is looking for actual real explanations for what's causing heart disease. And it looks like our growing exposure to microplastics may be one of the principal causes. I say one because I don't think it's just one thing that is causing heart disease. I think that we're exposed to a wide range of things that are potentially aggravating and causing heart disease. Endocrine disrupting chemicals, stress, I think in and of itself has an effect too. Maybe other things as well. But this is a really, really promising lead, I think, in actually getting to the bottom of what causes heart disease. Because it's worth remembering, you know, in the 1950s, when we were told that the lipid heart hypothesis was right and we all needed to stop eating animal fats and animal products, We were told that heart disease would go away, but it hasn't. Heart disease is now the leading cause of death in the US, and it's the leading cause of death, I think, in most countries in the developed world. It kills 2,500 people a day in the US. So, you know, something needs to be done about this, because this it is a serious problem. It's the leading cause of death in the US, and for decades we've been grappling with an explanation that is just actually totally wrong, and maybe ignoring other, well, actually ignoring other risk factors and getting to the bottom of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something that we hope the administration, Maha itself and RFK Jr. push as a top priority, because we're learning more and more about microplastics and the dangers that come with it. I know a lot of us, especially me, I had no idea for many years now, and have switched over all of my simple things like food containers over to the glass ones rather than the plastic ones. And, you know, everyone's starting to make these changes because we're learning about how dangerous these things really, really are. And so we hope there's more information put out about that. But, you know, we appreciate all the incredible work that you're doing over on Infowars.com, and remind our audience that your book is available right now for pre-sale, The Last Men, Liberalism and Death of Masculinity. Of course, you guys can head on over to Amazon and purchase that now. Raw Egg Nationalist, thank you for being here, my friend. It's always good to hear from you and all the incredible stories you're working on over at Infowars.com. So thank you for joining us, as always.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Folks, we're keeping our eye on a lot of things. Like I said, we are keeping our eye on the Larry Latest regarding that Ukrainian-Russian potential peace deal that we keep hearing about. We haven't gotten any updates regarding that just yet, but obviously about an hour ago, the White House coming out and confirming that they are still on talks with both sides. And there was one White House official that said, yes, Ukraine has agreed to certain key core terms to all of this, but not giving out specifics. So we're keeping our eye on that story. But I wanted to play you this very interesting clip. It has a lot of people finally talking about these issues that so many, I mean, we've talked about on the show, but so many in the mainstream refuse to acknowledge. Tucker Carlson is calling out Republicans, and I want you to listen to this clip, clip six. Take a listen.
And on the Republican Party, which is almost to the point where it's just useless, and I'm going to have to oppose it because I hate them too much because they're such betrayers. But anyway, in the Republican Party, it's like, you a socialist? Are you from Mondani? No, not really a socialist. Just, I don't want any more dollar stores. I don't want high density housing in my neighborhood. I don't want any more fucking strip malls that nobody goes to. No more karate studios and vape shops. Like, how about no? Ooh, socialist? You don't believe in the free market because you bribed a fucking county commissioner to build more garbage? You don't even live here?
Mm-hmm.
In a normal society, we'd like burn your strip mall down. So you can't do that here. You can't turn my women into prostitutes. Sorry. OnlyFans, and you can't destroy the landscape that I live in. No. How about no? That's not crazy, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, no.
And you can't take all my tax dollars and then refuse to do anything about child molestation. Like, the whole reason you exist, county commissioners, is to protect my daughters from getting molested, but you won't because, like, why?
I think it's the frustrations most Americans have these days, and how our cities, our towns are converting into what we never really wanted in the first place. Obviously, they're inching towards something that is a globalist movement rather than those who live locally. And I think most Americans are getting fed up. Republicans are not really, as you heard Mark Mitchell outlining too, not really understanding where the base is these days and what the American people truly do want. And Tucker Carlson echoing that same exact concern. I want to switch gears as well, because there was a very enlightening clip. Get ready to get your laughter on, folks. Ilhan Omar is trying to defend Somalians who are just being accused of being fraudsters. There was a big press conference that was held yesterday, and they're trying to, I guess, try to shame the rest of us into not calling out the consistency here. That is, for many, many years, those who come to our country from Somalia are ripping U.S. taxpayers off. There is a long history of that, and they're hoping you're not paying attention. We're going to play clip 10 for you, because Ilhan Omar has some allegations that she's outlining that she doesn't really probably have any facts to back up. Take a listen.
Somalis are not terrorizing this nation. We are helping it thrive. Somalis have always seen themselves as a fabric of this nation. So not only are we not going anywhere, not only are we not going anywhere, We are not going to allow anybody to make us feel less Minnesotan or less American.
Did you hear that? Well, apparently the fabric of this country, hard pass, folks. That is not true. Fake news. The only thing that they contribute to this country are obviously a much significantly higher surge in our inbreeding stats. On top of that, our fraud that continues to go on, especially in the area that she represents. They don't want you to talk about that. They don't want you to talk about that. We won't even get into IQ here because that would just be an insult. Although it's truthful, there's only so much beating that these people can take. But the reality is that she's trying to lie to make herself feel better. They do not contribute anything to our country. And we'd be much better off if we just sent them all back. They all have an alliance. They all pledge their alliance to Somalia rather than this country. And we hear Ilhan Omar do it all the time. So again, fake news, we'll flag. We'll be the fact checkers on that one, of course. But I also want to address this. We covered it yesterday. Clip 11, we're going to play it for you. It has to do with Tyson Foods because I've been talking about it for quite some time now. Many of you probably are familiar with the fact that Tyson Foods has faced allegations that they are employing illegal aliens. Interesting enough, they deny those allegations repeatedly. Last year, they faced it back in 2024. But most importantly, a new video has surfaced. We talked about it yesterday, how one of their plants is now laying off their employees, and they have 60 days until they shut that plant down. Well, listen very carefully, because they can't even listen to their own supervisor. They can't even understand their own supervisor, because they don't speak English. Take a listen.
I'm trying to get out that door.
You will work for approximately 60 more days. Okay. You will not work tonight.
No, I can
pay you 4 hours. I will come back Monday, regular time. You're going to have a lot of questions. Next week, we'll be able to have meetings and answer your questions.
So obviously the employees over at Tyson Foods do not understand what's being said by their supervisor, and they need an interpreter. Again, Tyson saying they do not employ illegal aliens. I'm sure there's probably a term or verbiage to dance around they're going to try to do there. But again, they denied the reporting that came out in 2024, even Bloomberg saying that. And so we look forward to seeing what's actually going on over at Tyson Foods. I'm sure our federal government will be involved, of course, regarding ICE. But again, this is insane that they can't even understand their own supervisor. This was also that same report that Tyson apparently is denying. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have our Black Friday sale kicking off a little bit early. Give you a head start on that, of course. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements. Plus, 25% off apparel. With all your purchases, of course, you're going to enter in to potentially win a Jeep and $10,000 in cash. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is time to get your Christmas shopping started before we run out. We'll be right back with more.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. Happy Tuesday, everyone. All right, a lot going on all around the world. Let's buckle down, though, on the prosecution of that J6 pipe bomber suspect. Because, well, like I told you earlier in the show, I'm not totally buying the individual that they have mentioned, framed, whatever you want to say, as the suspect in all of this. I've read through the criminal complaint. It's zero physical evidence, but a lot of, well, we pinned his cell phone. He made these purchases through credit card records. And it's not a slam dunk. I don't think you're going to get a D.C. liberal jury to convict this 30-year-old man who just happens to apparently be a fan of My Little Pony. Actually, it's more of an obsession, according to the New York Post. They have the ones that have uncovered all of this. And it's bizarre, but I'm told that this still might mean that he is the perp. There's a lot of, like, weird things that go on the dark web, so it's possible. But, again, do you think a guy who's been obsessed with My Little Pony for years now is someone who was the mastermind behind the J6 pipe bombings? Or bombs, I should say. And this image, courtesy of my good friend, FBI whistleblower George Hill. This is probably what he wore when he was making those pipe bombs, allegedly. Although we can't confirm. But interesting enough, folks, it's not just about the actual suspect that I want to keep your attention to. It's the woman who's prosecuting this case. Jocelyn Ballantyne, she's the individual we called in the question yesterday because she's the one who's supposed to be the prosecutor on this case. Now, if that name sounds familiar, that's because she's been accused of a lot of, let's just say, unethical things. She's been accused previously of putting the wrong ID number. Remember when General Michael Flynn was supposed to get his charges dismissed and there was a delay? Well, apparently she was the attorney that had to defend why the DOJ was dragging it on. Obviously, even Bill Barr thought that was outrageous at the time, who was the AG at the time. But then if you're someone who maybe was a J6 persecuted victim of the DOJ, you might know who she is, especially if you're a member of the Proud Boys who were put on trial because of her. She was the prosecutor behind the case, and there was a lot of issues regarding her, well, how she prosecuted the case in the first place. I want to get into the specifics of that, too, because, folks, I sat down for Steven Crowder. Steven Crowder had me do a sit-down interview, which I was very thankful for, with Enrique Tarrio once he got let out of prison. As many of you know, Tarrio was pardoned by President Trump. And for Ladder with Crowder, I did a sit-down interview with Tarrio exclusively. And he mapped out what we have heard, what I've heard Tarrio talk about a lot. And it's always been consistent in his claims. This woman apparently was the one who slid over an agreement that if Tarrio didn't want to go to prison, all he had to do was comply with the narrative that was on that paper. That narrative being President Trump helped orchestrate January 6th via a third party, an individual between the two of them, and he was a part of all of this. Now, Tarrio, knowing that was a lie, apparently said no. And what happened there? Well, he was sentenced to 22 years in prison. But it's interesting because President Trump was actually asked about this yesterday by the very, very gutsy reporter, Kara Castronova, over at Lindell TV. And in clip 16, President Trump responded to this corrupt prosecutor, alleged corrupt prosecutor, I should say. Take a listen.
And how do you feel about the lead prosecutor on the pipe bomber case? Jocelyn Ballantyne is the same prosecutor that allegedly asked the J6er to lie to frame you for J6 when you did nothing wrong. What are your thoughts?
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that question. It's sort of a statement, and I appreciate it very much. Jocelyn is being looked at. They all have to be looked at. What they're doing is so bad. This was a whole Democrat hoax. The whole thing was a Democrat hoax, and it's all being looked at. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it sounds good that it's all being looked at, but why are we allowing her to continue to prosecute crimes in D.C.? Well, I reached out to the DOJ for comments, and unfortunately, Judge Pirro, as many of you guys know, she is the one leading the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C. Well, her office did not get back to us when we requested some more information on all of this to make sure that they knew who this woman was. Simply want to know, why does she still have a job within your office? And unfortunately, they did not respond. Which is quite strange because they are a very responsive office. They could have said no comment. They could have said, oh, we're still investigating her. We're still looking into the allegations she's facing. But instead, they chose not to respond. Very, very interesting strategy. Joining me to discuss is Enrique Tarrio. He's here to react to the news, of course, that his former prosecutor is now going to be leading the prosecution of this individual who apparently put down pipe bombs in D.C. And Tarrio, you know, I've read through the criminal complaint and I'll get your reaction to it specifically because you and I have been in communications for a long time now in regards to the Blaze report and then now this. And the timeline is suspicious because as soon as the Blaze puts out who they guessed was the J6 pipe bomber, who they suspected was, then all of a sudden the FBI comes out and says, no, here we go. This is the person. And according to the court documents that were filed earlier this week, we found out that this individual was allegedly ID'd back in 2021 and then cleared. So what do you make of all of this thus far?
So, Bree, I don't know what to believe. There's just so much information on this. It's overwhelming. Is it the individual named by the Blaze? You know, I don't know. Is it this individual with the My Little Pony obsession, which actually is pretty big news when we're talking about a D.C. jury? I think if he was a Trump supporter, I think they wouldn't have a chance to beat this case. But now that we're talking that the guy was a brony, there might be a chance that he actually gets exonerated in this case. But your focus is right. I want to focus on the team, things that we could change, things that we do know. We do know that Jocelyn Ballantyne, in my case, ordered the destruction of 338 pieces of evidence. We know that she had a major slip up and gave us confidential information, which ended up being information that was hidden from us that showed that the FBI was listening in to attorney-client privilege phone calls. They had a bias against us from the beginning. They were angry at the amount of support that we were getting from you guys, the InfoWars listeners, and the people from the Trump community. And this person, you know, I knew he said he was going to fire a whole bunch of people. And Pam Bondi said she was going to clean house. And one of the first people, I got super excited. One of the first people I thought of, I'm like, oh my God, Jocelyn Ballantyne's finally going to lose her job, maybe be prosecuted. No, she's being promoted. Yeah. She's been given, right now, this is the biggest case. The biggest case to come out of January 6th, which is the January 6th pipe bomber case. Is this guy it? I don't know. But I will tell you, if he's it, this isn't the person to prosecute it. We saw it throughout our case with all the fumbles, right? Let's take my personal animus away for just a second about this person that put me in a cage for 3 years. If I take my personal animus away, you start seeing the mistakes that she made throughout the 6 month trial. And in a trial that's not directly Trump related or Trump supporters, those fumbles might cost this prosecution. And at the end of the day, it's going to cost the American people the truth about what happened on January 5th with his Python. Is this person it? Maybe. Did he work alone? I don't think so. Just everything points to this person working with somebody else. Like I don't know. You saw the pictures of the actual pipe bombs,
yeah.
And they were built exactly like the training dummy. There's a lot of inconsistencies. A 60-second timer. So it's really concerning. And I actually some people said, "Oh, the president's non-answer." I thought that was actually a good answer. I think that now he's going to look into Jocelyn Ballantyne, and I'm hoping the DOJ does the right thing and terminates her. But there's another person involved here that's pretty interesting. It's Special Agent Hanek, which was the special agent in charge of our case, is also in charge of this case and was the special agent that actually interviewed this gentleman, Mr. Cole. So the roll of the dice, we're joking with my four other guys yesterday, and we said the roll of the dice is that this guy gets Judge Timothy Kelly, and then we could get the entire Proud Boys prosecution team all under one roof, and this guy might get exonerated.
Well, you guys have to show up to his court dates. I think that
I will be there.
Yeah.
I will be there.
Yeah.
I will be there.
Yeah. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's just such a crazy, crazy circumstance, right? Because, President Trump, his response, maybe he just wasn't prepared for the question itself, or he wasn't aware. Obviously he's got a lot on his plate. So there's that element to it all. So we're hoping this is on his radar. But the fact that this woman was literally gunning for him and was trying her very best to go after him and work with Jack Smith's office and to try to nail an indictment and nail some type of allegedly BS agreement. I'm sure you weren't the only one too, Tari. I'm sure there are other people involved in all of this too who were aware that she was trying to, or what everyone was trying to do, trying to pin President Trump down and trying to make it seem like he orchestrated J6. I mean, this wasn't something that was limited to just one individual. There's no way. And in regards to, it's likely that this suspect, if he is the suspect, was working with others. I would agree with you on that. You know, when I ran through the criminal complaint, there's nothing there that's like physical pieces of evidence. It's all, we have his cell phone records. We have his credit card purchases. We caught his plates here. But we haven't seen a physical photograph, right? Normally when you pass through these license plate readers, we usually have an image of the driver itself, or we have some type of images of this person driving a vehicle. We don't see any of that in this entire criminal complaint. I don't see any type of fingerprints or anything that would align him to this. And so that's the reason why I'm still holding out. And, you know, Tario, I was told by someone over at the FBI, when I told them I'm a little doubtful because I didn't want to go public with it at first, but I did say based on the criminal complaint, I don't think this is a slam dunk as you guys are describing it to be. No. I was told that there was going to be more evidence during his next criminal appearance coming out, and there hasn't been anything. Do you think that's strange at all?
I think all of it is strange. Yeah. I got to read the criminal complaint. I want to see what the indictment says, the grand jury indictment is going to say, because I think that's coming up next. We'll get a little bit more details there. And as we, I don't think this case, let's start with this. I don't think this case goes to trial. Already we're seeing that he sat with the FBI without representation, but he already sat with the FBI and kind of said a couple things. I think this guy takes a plea deal. He's not, you know, I hate saying it, Brie. I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to feel bad for the alleged pipe bomber. Right. And I kind of feel bad for him. We're getting all this information. It sounds like he's not right in the head. And maybe he's some type of patsy. But again, like I think now that it's on the president's radar, because that's what I took from that. And as a matter of fact, I'm sitting right behind me is the escalator where he famously came down in 2016. I'm sitting at Trump Tower right now, but, I think it's important that now it's on his radar. Right. And I think Kara did an amazing job, bringing that out. She asked the right question. And I think, we might see some results from it, but I don't trust the DOJ, whatsoever to do the right thing here. I mean, they fumbled everything. I was joking with you online. You're like, there's been zero deep state arrests. And I'm like, no, Brianna, I gotta correct you. There's been negative two. We got Comey and Letitia James. I don't know how you fumble that. I understand it's the judge and the region, but it's the venue. You should have known that from the beginning. You know, it was a rookie mistake.
Yeah. And you know, President Trump's going after MTG, but he's not going after the senators who are refusing to confirm his U.S. attorneys. And so now you're using acting U.S. attorneys. And so like Lindsey Holligan over in Virginia right now is struggling and she's doing her best. She was pushed into this position super last minute to kind of make sure that the statute of limitations didn't end on Comey. And, you know, my source is telling me that she wasn't getting much in the way of assistance from the DOJ itself, and she was kind of thrown into this. Again, she has obviously legal experience, but in this type of venue, not so much, and so she needs assistance, and I don't think she was receiving that. And so it feels like she was somebody who was set up to fail, so I'll never criticize her on that because I think she did her very best. But again, the judges over there not siding with her on that front, which I think is concerning. Tari, you know, in a little bit, we're going to have, and this is going to be, I guess it's going to air tomorrow, I'm going to be speaking with the chairman of the J6 Select Committee, Barry Loudermilk, in just a moment, and we're going to pre-tape that and then air it tomorrow on tomorrow's show. But if you had any questions for Loudermilk, what specifically would you want him to buckle down on? Because he's having to sift through and look for deleted evidence the last J6 committee deleted. But there's obviously a lot of wrongs that day. Even though you weren't there, you were probably, you were the wrong the most out of everyone, of course. What would you like Barry Loudermilk to kind of focus on as he tries to sift through all the nonsense that the lefties left behind?
So I think that it's kind of like a mix between, what was going on in J6 and then what happened at the committee, what happened during the court cases. And the problem that we saw with the court cases, I think the most egregious one, and you know, there's 1600 individuals. I don't want to single ourselves out, for it because there's a lot of people that suffered, but our case, had the most egregious circumstances because we went through trial for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. And there were many mistakes there. And I think that they should focus on these teams that did prosecute the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. Specifically, again, not out of like a personal thing. You'll see the most egregious violations by the DOJ, and the weaponization of government, in these cases, as you saw with the Oath Keepers case. You have Shane LeMond that's currently serving an 18-month sentence. I encourage, Congressman Loudermilk to take a look at, Shane LeMond's case, because it is a J6 case. It is a J6 case, because as soon as I put him on the witness list, they went and knocked on his door. So I think that, if I were to tell, Congressman Loudermilk something, I think focus on these big cases and then work your way down and you'll find them out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the main focus too. And they've got to, because it was very obvious when you were sitting back and watching a lot of these prosecutions that this was all just a setup in itself. Enrique, I want to ask you too. I know you're in New York right now. So what are you up to?
I can't say everything I'm working on, but we're working on going on the offense. I'm working with Cynthia Hughes on this project called Weaponization Watch, where we're going to start taking an offensive on the legal front. I think that's super important. As I said yesterday at a private event, I said that, you know, we only have, and I've been saying, I think I told you this when we first interviewed, but we only have now 3 years, right? And technically we have less than that if you count midterms, but as far as the executive goes, we have 3 years. And I think it's imperative that we don't just depend on the DOJ, to combat this weaponization. I think that we have to take, I hate using this word, we have to take lawfare into our own hands and start suing these people, like the United States government, and suing the DOJ and suing NPR, which came up yesterday as a possibility, these media companies, because if we don't take action in the next 3 years, like affirmative action, decisive action in the next 3 years, they are going to flip the script. We don't know who's going to win. We don't know if it's J.D. Vance that's going to win or Gavin Newsom or any of those people. But we do know one thing. If Democrats take office again, and I hope to God they don't, everything will be for nothing.
Yeah.
We're going to start from zero. So I'm happy to be part of this team now. And again, you got to go on the offense. Everybody that's watching this, you guys need to get off your butts. I'm being very careful. Get off your butts. After Brianna's show and after Alex's show, go ahead, put the phone down and do something. Harrison, do something. Go outside, knock on doors, get involved. You can DM me if you want to help with the this new committee that we're putting together. But always appreciate having being on here with you, Brianna.
Yeah, well, it's always a pleasure to have you on, of course. Before you go, too, I want to just get an update on your civil lawsuit, because I know the last time you and I caught up on all of that, there was a response that came from the DOJ, which was extremely discouraging. In case our audience is unfamiliar, let me just, you know, kind of catch you up on things. You are suing, and so are your other fellow Proud Boy members, the DOJ, for all of the unlawful, unconstitutional things they did to you guys during this J6 persecution. The DOJ decided to come forward and ask the courts to dismiss your lawsuit based on what they deem as immunity to violate anyone's constitutional rights without having to pay financially for doing just that. Is there any updates in regards to that?
Right now, there's no updates. The government shutdown kind of slowed everything down, because when you sue the government and it's shut down, one of the branches that they kind of kill off is the civil branch of the DOJ. So since the government just opened up just a couple weeks ago, I think the motors are turning right now, and I think we're going to have an evidentiary hearing with this judge. I don't think I think it's very unlikely and not very probable that the judge just dismisses the case. And I believe that this evidentiary hearing will move the case forward. And I'll tell you one thing, Bree, if this case moves forward, passes dismissal, the United States government's in for a bad time.
Yeah, I mean, Tario, the president is also suing the DOJ for something very, very similar to you. And I heard in the last reports that he was asking for north of $200 million. So if they try to dismiss your lawsuit, there's no reason why the president should accept a settlement. Now, I know this would fall under Todd Blanche's kind of space, but they did speak out publicly about that. And it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. The DOJ needs to pay for what was done, or else it's going to happen again and again. And I don't like the fact that they're trying to say that they're the DOJ, so they could just violate your constitutional rights without any type of ramifications for that at all. Folks, head on over right now to noblelead.substack. That is Tario's Substack page. That is where you could follow his work. You could also subscribe as well and support his work. Obviously, there is a price when you're out there traveling and trying to spread the truth and trying to go after all of these hacks who are trying to destroy this company, this country, I should say. So head on over right now. Make sure you subscribe. I've subscribed as well. This is where you can find all of Tario's work, his pieces. So head on over right now, noblelead.substack, right this moment. Tario, good luck in New York City. Enjoy it while you can. I'm hearing there's going to be regime change very soon, and it's not going to be the same place anymore. So take it all in while you can, my friend.
Amen. Thank you so much. I'm dying to get home. I'm dying to get out of this city.
It's a swamp. Yes. Thank you, Tario. We appreciate your time as always. Folks, if you haven't done so, make sure you do that. Go head on over to his Substack page and subscribe. We've got to support great work. And that's exactly what Tario is doing in this fight. All right, folks. So I got a lot more to dive into in just a bit. I'm going to talk a little bit of Jasmine Crockett because Crockett is running for U.S. Senate. That's good news if you are Ken Paxton, who you're going to win against John Cornyn in a landslide victory for the primary because Texans do not like Cornyn. He is a deep state operative, I guess you could kind of say at this point. I mean, he's proven just that. He's been a defender of the abuse, the ongoing abuse, Section 702, advocating for that extension. I've played the clips and like a ton of times. Maybe 10 times on this show and others in regards to Cornyn going out there and defending the government, spying on Americans, lying and saying, oh, no, we didn't use FISA to go after Americans. It's only foreigners who were targeted. Obviously, that's a load of crap. You and I both know that. Ken Paxton making it a top priority to replace Cornyn, and I think he's going to nail that. Now, his other match is going to have to be now Jasmine Crockett. Gosh, we got a couple of sound bites you're going to want to listen to because Crockett, she's, you know, garbage as a person. Not a good person. Race baiting is kind of a nicer way to put it, but she has obviously been extremely divisive intentionally, always plays the race card. Why? Well, when you don't have anything intelligent to say, you play victim because victimhood is profitable these days. And that's why everyone's jumping on board with that. But she's not very bright, and President Trump continues to call her low IQ. And it's true, she is low IQ. She's actually running on the fact that she's low IQ. You won't believe what kind of audio she has playing in this video, which is obviously all about her. That's why she's got like... It's so bad. This might be the worst campaign announcement I've ever seen in the history of campaigning. But she's got it. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. So don't go anywhere on that because that's going to be a good one. We've also got more to dive into regarding Tim Pool. I've got a clip of Tim Pool yesterday talking about his house, his studio being shot up on Friday. There's a lot going on right now. We wanted to dive into that. So I'll play that clip for you in a bit. Plus, Piers Morgan and Nick Fuentes got into a little bit of a debate. When I mean a little bit, I mean, Piers Morgan came with his talking points prepared for him by his producers. And Nick Fuentes like laughed it off and was just like, dude, come on. The name calling, it's not going to stick. We'll play some of the top moments during this little debate in just a few moments. So you're not going to want to go anywhere. There's more happening here on the American Journal. Stay put. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Colostrum is on sale, 40% off for the next couple of minutes. Again, it's going to end soon, so make sure you head on over there right now. Plus, we have these great creatine gummies. I keep talking about this, ladies, especially ladies. If you don't take creatine, you need creatine. It's great for muscle recovery and your brain function as well. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com before we run out.
I didn't plug last hour. Because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, fruit punch and then freedom mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustain energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine. Relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number 4 straight ahead. every military analyst from China, Russia, the RAND Corporation, the Pentagon, no one disagrees. The International Atomic Association of Scientists with their doomsday clock in Chicago. It is the closest to nuclear war we've ever been on the threat escalation ladder.
We have a plan. We know what to do. So let us deliver. We must.
We will, of course, continue working closely with our partners in NATO. This is a moment for Europe. And we are ready to step up.
The Secretary General of NATO warning about the prospect of war, and he put it in really stark terms. Yeah. He said, we are Russia's next target, and we are already in harm's way. And you sort of wonder why he's saying that now, and it's partly about a message to European people. You do need to spend money on defense, yes, but also getting people ready psychologically as well. Yeah.
Now we are dealing with the third form of totalitarianism. This time it is liberal totalitarianism. So they are going to sacrifice everything, any normal rational interests, any normal values in order to promote their crazy maniac agenda.
He said a short while ago in some previous comments earlier that we must be prepared for the scale of war our grandparents or great-grandparents endured.
We all agree that Ukraine is our first line of defense. We have to step up the military support for Ukraine.
Unelected dictatorship, Ursula von der Leyen, allied with the British Empire, that's the modern Hitler, the real thing. That is psychotic megalomania. That will get us all killed. That's the number one threat on Earth right now. This witch.
I want the leader of the European Union, which is now Ursula von der Leyen, to be democratically elected, because now she's not elected. She comes inside the European Parliament and we say yes or no, but I think it's more of a show than actually a vote, because she makes deals with all the political parties from before to vote.
The real problem, it is the nuclear fight, war between Russia and United States of America. That is the last call. That is apocalypse. That is Armageddon. If we could reduce this danger, this threat to European Union, and if United States will stay out of it, I think that is the main reason why nuclear war will not happen.
Number one, the war is won. Russia has won. If you want to stop the bleeding, if you want to have some sort of impact on how much further the Russians go in terms of absorbing territory, then sit down and admit that the war is over, that they've won, and hammer out some sort of solution. Because if you don't, this nonsense sponsored by MI6, the CIA, and Mossad in Kiev is going to continue. And as it continues, the Russians will move forward until they're confident that they have secured enough space, not just territory, but space, frankly, that allows them to feel secure as a nation.
That Russia is not going to attack Europe. It's funny for us. It's laughable because we never wanted to attack Europe. Okay, let's put it in writing. But there are some people who are not particularly, shall we say, with us. I don't know, there may be some crooks when everything is being fed to the society and the citizens are scared and they want to hear that we don't have any aggressive plans towards Europe.
Our own GOP senators that are coming out against it. Let me give you a wild guess as to where they are personally invested with in regards to their stock portfolios. You guessed it.
Trump's got to take the gloves off. Don't just leave NATO. Break up the EU. There's all these states that don't want to be under it. Most of them didn't even vote to get in it. It literally was set up as a trade deal scam, Treaty of Rome in 56. Point out it's unelected. Point out they're killing all these AfD candidates. Point out it's the new Hitler. And just break it up. We can do this.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Welcome back to the War Room, folks. We got a lot going on over here. I'm Brianna Morello, filling in for Harrison Smith on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday evening. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us, of course, so thank you for being here. All right, as many of you guys know, I'm not in our normal studio. I'm here in the swamp, and we've been, you know, we've been triggering those in the corporate media, which is good news. If you guys saw earlier today, I was at the Pentagon, and we really got them upset that the independent world is now taking over for the corporate media world. And, you know, it's been endless attacks for the last few weeks on that front. But listen, we're exposing a lot, and we were asking all the tough questions today at the Pentagon, and we're going to get more into that in just a bit. But right now, I want to play this clip for you because we've talked about it. As many of you guys know, there was that horrific terror attack that took place last week in Washington, D.C. An Afghan refugee, is what they like to call him, decided to drive across the country and shoot two National Guardsmen. Unfortunately, one has passed away and the other one is still fighting for his life, but things are looking good for him. But when it comes to the question of how did this person get here in the first place, there's only one way to point your finger, and that's at the Biden regime. The Biden regime funneled thousands of Afghan refugees into this country. We had no idea where they were coming from, who they were. And right now we're trying to get to how did this happen. I want to play this clip for you, clip five. This is the Secretary of DHS, Kristi Noem, coming out and saying that this individual was poorly vetted. Take a listen.
Well, we know that when Joe Biden left the White House, he left us with a 1.5 million case backlog in asylum claims. And individuals are required under law and under policy to check in every single year when they have asylum in this country, and that wasn't being done. These individuals that were brought in and then vetted on information that was gathered by the Biden administration that wasn't thorough. And so now we're completely changing that since President Trump has been in the White House and since I've been at DHS. We're using biometric information. We're using those social media platforms and looking at what they're saying and doing, and making sure that we have a government, when a country is sending us someone, we have a government that is stable in that country that can actually share information with us. How do we vet someone that comes from Afghanistan or Somalia or Yemen if they don't have a government that we can communicate with that will share information with us? And so that is one of the prerogatives and one of the priorities that we're putting on these countries if they want to continue to send us people that want to claim asylum.
The vetting process is a major, major issue, but folks, you can't vet these people. I mean, you just heard the secretary lay it out for you. The reality is these people come from countries that, number one, aren't going to be honest with us, right? They're not going to tell you, especially if you're turning to the Taliban and asking, hey, is this a terrorist that's trying to come into our country? I mean, they're not going to tell you that. And so it really calls into question is how can our vetting process actually be functioning and actually work for the American people? And the reality is, I don't think it actually will. Joining me to discuss is Senator Tommy Tuberville. He joins us today in the Rumble studio. It is an honor to have you on, sir, so thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
Glad to be here. We are here in swamp territory. We're very excited about that. We've been asking a lot of tough questions all week. And so this one is one I want to get your take on, because you're obviously very outspoken on the Islam issue, and you cause a lot of headlines where you piss off the corporate media, and we're very excited about that, because for so long, these types of things have not been challenged when it comes to allowing these migrants. They always call them the asylum seekers, but the reality is they come here and they want to cause harm. So how do we vet these people and bring them into our country?
Well, first of all, we didn't vet them, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We brought in, tens of thousands. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a little story. When all this happened in Afghanistan, I had to go over to India And I said, you know, I'm going to go back through Brussels and meet with the NATO commander and see how it's going. That's where we sent all of the Afghanistanians that we brought out of Afghanistan, and we housed them where we tented them. They put them in tents in these little villages and stuff. Now, they run in different tribes, okay? And the NATO commander told me, he says, Coach, we're having huge problems. So what's going on? He said, well, we're having rapes, boys, little girls, women. We're having fights. We can't control them. And I've gone to all the leaders of the tribes and said, listen, either you handle it or we're going to handle it. And they got them and somewhat corralled them up, but they weren't asylum seekers. Mm-hmm. We brought out anybody that would get on the plane is what happened. Joe Biden said, let's get as many people out as we possibly can. I said, have we vetted these people? Coach, we don't vet these people because we don't know who they are. There's no identification. They have no sense of reality when it comes to being a part of anything. And so we're just biometric them. We're putting them on planes. We're shipping them to the United States of America. So that's how we got all these people. And we knew it was going to cause problems. But that's what the Biden administration wants. They have done so much damage to this country. President Trump is probably the best pro-growth president we've ever had. But he can't do anything because of all the problems they created trying to get his head above water to get this country back going in the right direction. But it is a absolute disaster when it comes to the Muslims coming into this country.
Yeah, and people don't want to talk about it. They want to play it safe. And it's the reality is these people don't belong in the West. They hate us. They despise us. And you brought up a great point, the sexual assault angle to all of this. People shy away from the topic, too, because they just don't want to talk about it. But I've sat here for years following what happened when we brought them onto U.S. military bases. And I actually asked the Pentagon about it today. Specifically, we saw that there were a couple of stories coming out about children and women being raped at these military bases. And then all of a sudden, they stopped reporting it. They didn't tell the public about any of this. And we don't even know if those people who were accused of rape, whether they were deported, whether they were arrested. We don't know if they're sitting in prisons, right? I mean, we have no idea where these people are. I asked the Pentagon if they were going to give us some statistics on all of this. We could find out how many crimes were committed while they were on our military bases. And we didn't really get a direct answer in all of this. It's really concerning, but you bring up a great point. And you also posted this on X, too, about ban all Islam immigrants and deport every single Islamist. Now, you've been very aggressive on this issue. Why is this a top priority for you?
Well, first of all, I love America.
Yeah.
And you and I have had the opportunity to be in a country that is the greatest ever. Mm-hmm. But we're losing it. Mm-hmm. And we're losing it at a fast pace simply for the fact of immigration. We can't allow to continue this to happen. Now, we want people to come here for the right reasons. We don't want you to come if you're not having problems in your own country. If you live in a country that is functional, you don't deserve to come to the United States of America. We'll only take you if you're in trouble. But that wasn't Biden administration's forte. They said, hey, we're just going to take anybody. They opened up the borders. They loaded up planes. The people they brought from Afghanistan weren't translators or friends of the American soldiers. They were just anybody that would get on the plane. And so Islam is it's a tough situation. Mm-hmm. We want anybody to come here that can make our country better. That's the way I look at it. If you can come here and go by our laws and go by our constitution and make our country better and want to assimilate, I'm all for you. They don't want to do that. They want to change this country to something else. Now, Sharia law and Islam is not a religion. Mm-hmm. It's a cult, okay? And their cult believes in totally different things we believe in. They don't believe in Americans, kill the infidel, do away with everything that we believe in. They hate Christians. Mm-hmm. You know, we're having tens of thousands of people killed in Nigeria by Muslims because they're Christians.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen here. Mm-hmm. Why do we even take that chance? So I'm saying they don't belong here. Let's pack them up and send them home. And I think a lot of people are starting to understand after this hitting the last week here, two or three blocks from where we're at right now, it's a huge problem. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And again, we've got to start speaking up about it because if you don't talk about your problems, you can't solve the problem. And so let's start talking about it.
Yeah, and it's really important that we do just that. I mean, the fact that we have to wait, sadly, until one National Guardswoman lost her life, I mean, that's just devastating. But it's starting to create an open dialogue here that I think is very important. And we're also starting to reveal Somalian fraud. That's a big topic these days. I want to play clip 19 for you because President Trump earlier today was calling out Somalia. And he had quite the interesting way of describing the Somalians that have come into this country. Take a listen.
And they contribute nothing. The welfare is like 88%. They contribute nothing. I don't want them in our country, I'll be honest with you. Okay? Somebody say, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't care. I don't want them in our country. Their country's no good for a reason. Their country stinks. And we don't want them in our country. I could say that about other countries, too. I can say it about other countries, too. We don't want them to help. We have to rebuild our country. You know, our country's at a tipping point. We could go bad. We're at a tipping point. I don't know if people mind me saying that, but I'm saying it. We could go one way or the other, and we're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country. Ilhan Omar is garbage. She's garbage. Her friends are garbage. These aren't people that work. These aren't people that say, let's go, come on, let's make this place great. These are people that do nothing but complain. They complain. And from where they came from, they got nothing. You know, they came from paradise, and they said, this isn't paradise. But when they come from hell, and they complain and do nothing but bitch, we don't want them in our country. Let them go back to where they came from and fix it. Thank you very much,
everybody. Okay, President Trump really not holding back there, and very descriptive on how he feels about all of this. But, you know, you come from the great state of Alabama, and you guys are starting to see a little bit of issues here. You know, I was going through your ex page, and I'm obviously now in Texas. I can't call myself a Texan yet, but we've seen over the last 2 years in my little area alone, 48 mosques get popping up, and all of these Islamic compounds is what they're trying to pop up and open up, and they're doing their best to lie and deceive the American people. Epic is one great example of that. But you're calling it out, and you're trying to do your very best to make sure that this doesn't happen to Alabama right now, specifically saying the only place this Islamic academy should be moving is out of Alabama. How important is it for you to make sure that Alabama, especially when you're campaigning right now, but how important is it for you to make sure that Alabama is secure and it's not going to be taking in Islam or Islamists, I should say?
Well, Brianna, first of all, that's my president. That's who I voted for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
America first.
Yeah.
Get these people out that don't belong here. Mm-hmm. Protect the people of this country first. And that's what he's doing. He's had enough of it. Mm-hmm. You know, after this nonsense that we had with these two young people killed, one killed and the other one in bad shape, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace to this country that we can't even protect our own military people. And so that's the guy I voted for. That's a good friend of mine. And we go to the point of what you're saying. We have 50 states in this country. Muslim communities are moving everywhere. Yeah. In every state, they're building mosques. They're having these five prayers a day. They're pushing this cult on everybody across the country. Now, the people that are vulnerable are obviously our young people that are in these woke universities that are falling in line with them. And it's going to catch up with us if we don't start talking about it. If we don't talk about it, again, people are not going, they're not going to wake up and look and go, what is this? Or is this really true? Is this really happening? You brought up Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas has a huge infiltration of Muslims north of the city, and they're buying land, putting in mosques, they're building schools in Birmingham, Alabama, in Hoover. We just had the city council say, no, you're not. There's a small school that's a Muslim school in that area. They want larger area where they can build a bigger school, infiltrate more and bring in more young people to teach them the Muslim faith. And again, I'm a senator right now and I'm going to fight it. In the future, in a year, I'll be the governor, and I'll be damned if we're going to do that in the state of Alabama. We're going to protect the people of Alabama. We're going to protect our constitution. We're going to protect our state. We're going to protect our country.
And that's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. How do you plan on carrying that out? Because it's going to be very, very hard to try to make sure that they can't purchase land and build these little Muslim compounds all over Alabama.
Well, we've got to prove that what they're doing is going against our Constitution. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't preach hate. You can't preach death. Yeah. Kill all infidels. Kill all Christians. You can't do that. And we'll find some way, somehow, that we can make sure that this did not grow. And again, we go back to what we said earlier. If you're here for a reason, and that reason is to bring down our country through some kind of cult, I mean, it's got to go. And we've got to find ways to do it. And again, as United States Senator, we can talk about it. But when you're in charge of the state, you can do a lot more about it. And you can push regulations. You can push building codes. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to put up with it as a governor of the state of Alabama. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what people want to hear. I mean, the reality of it is now in Texas, I was there when we had the public hearing and I was on EPIC, the East Plano Islamic Center. They've now actually rebranded their name. They're just calling themselves the Meadow now, according to the judge. So they're doing this rebranding to make it seem like it's not a threat. But, you know, I was very proud because I sat there in the courtroom while conservative Christians flooded the entire courtroom. And there were so many in the room that we couldn't actually sit everyone. So they actually had to have an overflow room for all of us. And so many people, I was so proud of them coming out, speaking out, saying they don't want this in their community and holding people accountable. The judge, Chris Hill, in Collin County actually siding with, Texans and saying, okay, like we're not going to let you guys build up on the land right now. So they're trying to do this whole pivot now, but it's super important for Americans to understand that you have to fight now. You have to stop this now while you still can, because right now Texas, once they purchase the land, it's their land. So it's getting into this fight now and pushing for this now is critical. And, you know, we're seeing it, and we'll kind of just pivot a little bit. Minnesota, I want to play clip six for you because we talk about these migrants who have flooded into our country. Somalia, obviously, Somalians have flooded in, and there's been a large amount of fraud earlier today. Chrissy Noem even calling out the DHS
millions
secretary.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars. She said 50% of the Somalians over there actually committed fraud to get into our country. 50%. Now, she says DHS is going to go out there and start making these arrests to get rid of these people. Because obviously they can't do that, but that's just immigration fraud. Then there's also the financial in all of this, millions of dollars. They've, and according to reports, they flooded this over to terrorist organizations back in their homeland. But I want to listen to clip six because this is one Somalian and she's doing a local news interview and she says, yeah, there's some of that commit fraud, but it's not all of us. Take a listen to clip six.
I'm not comfortable sometime. Because when I drive, when I'm sitting somewhere, not comfortable like before.
She says the president's recent focus on the Somali community is unnerving.
What he said, we've affected all communities. We know some people, they make fraud, but not all.
Okay, so some people make fraud, but not all. That's her fight to keep Somalians in this country right now. President Trump, I don't think he's buying that, do you?
Well, thank you, Barack Obama. He's the one who brought him in here, dumped him in one place. That was all by plan to try to take over some congressional seats. And then, of course, a lot of them came here illegally. Mm-hmm. We have one here in the United States Congress that came here illegally, married her brother to become a citizen, which is ridiculous. And if we allow that to happen, we're not going to make it. And you heard President Trump say a few minutes ago, we're at the tipping point of this country. I mean, folks, I mean, you might have a great family. You might have a little money in the bank. You have good kids and going to school. But all that's going to come to a halt if we don't wake up and smell the roses here and really tell what's going on. We're being overtaken by Muslims in this country. And it's, again, they come from different areas, different countries. I think there's somewhere in the 50s Muslim countries. And they're coming from all of them. They're coming here. They have a plan. They have a much better plan than what we have. They've overtaken Europe.
Yeah.
They've overtaken it. And, you know, they flooded the zone, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And now what's happening? We're having to pay for all the welfare, the SNAP, everything, all these subsidies, and American people out there that pay all these taxes, they're not getting the infrastructure in this country that they deserve. They're not getting the money back coming back to their states for education or health care. All the money's going to people that shouldn't be here, and it's time to stop it.
Yeah, it is time to stop it, and I think President Trump is going to make that a top priority. I mean, he seems fired up on the issue. There's another issue he's fired up on too. Tim Walz calling him out for allowing all this corruption, of course, the governor in Minnesota. It's very interesting because the media wasn't very happy when President Trump decided to call Tim Walz out for being low IQ. And in clip seven, they try to get him to back out of the statements that he made previously, but President Trump's not backing down. Take a listen.
In that same post, you mentioned Tim Walz and you called him what many Americans do find an offensive word, retarded. Do you stand by that claim of calling Tim Walz retarded?
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with him. Absolutely. Sure.
But you don't think
you have a problem with him? You know what? I think there's something wrong with him. Anybody that would do what he did, anybody that would allow those people into a state and pay billions of dollars out to Somalia. We give billions of dollars to Somalia. It's not even a country because it doesn't function like a country. It's got a name, but it doesn't function like a country. Yeah, there's something wrong with Walz.
All right, so Walz is not going to, well, I mean, he's not going to like, obviously, the president going after him. But President Trump, again, not backing down from the comments that he made, even though the media tried to bully him a little bit there. Your reaction?
You can't back down.
Yeah.
Now is
yeah.
the time to speak up, to be more vocal. President Trump's exactly right. I mean, this guy's got some kind of problem. And I don't know what it is. And his wife's even worse. We saw him during the campaign. They couldn't put two sentences together. Here's a guy dancing out. Coming out wanting to be the vice president of the United States and looks like a clown, his mannerisms. But at the end of the day, that's what they voted for in Minnesota. And we talked about earlier about Texas and Alabama. I'm not as concerned. I'm concerned because the push is on now to take over the South and more Christian type areas.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about the northern states where there's not as many Christians anymore for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're being pushed out. All these kids are taking over these big cities. And we're going to have some problems that we can't fix in the cities. It's going to be so broken we can't fix it. And President Trump, again, the only way we can do it is start taking them and say, listen, adios, time to go home.
Yeah.
And I think he's on the verge of doing that.
Yeah, I think he is. And we're hopeful that he is because this is a very important issue for every American at this point. They don't want to lose their communities and they want to keep fighting for their communities. And that's exactly why we elected President Trump. To get reelected and send it back into the White House. And that was very important. We've got about a minute left in this. I want you to talk about your campaign because obviously you're running for governor of Alabama, like we mentioned earlier in the show. But what do you want the American people to know about your campaign?
Well, President Trump's still mad at me a little bit. He wants me to stay. As I told him, I said, listen, you're going to send the power back to the states. You're going to send the money and the power back. And should. States should run their own. Because we're all different. Texas is different than Alabama. Alabama is different than Tennessee. We're all different. And so I'm a builder. I'm kind of like him. You know, I've coached football teams all my life. I put together staffs and those things. And I want to do the same thing in Alabama. I know people here now. I know the president. Our election's a year away. I've got a great chance to win. Right now, I don't have a primary candidate, but I do have a former Senator Doug Jones running against me. And of course, he still lives up here after he wants to run in Alabama for governor and been back maybe a couple of times. But at the end of the day, I want to make Alabama better. I'm visiting with every Republican governor across this country that has done something good and something bad. Try to learn from good. That's what you did as a coach. Coaches are nothing but thieves and governors are nothing but thieves. You steal things that work in other states. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I'm looking forward to it. But I got a year left here with President Trump. And I want to help him as much as I possibly can with a lot of things, especially immigration.
Yeah, and that's a big one. And we look forward to that. Senator Tommy Tuberville, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate your time. And it's always good to catch up with you in person. So we greatly appreciate it. Folks, in the meantime, make sure you head on over right now. We have a limited time sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements. So now is the time to stock up. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. And make sure you grab it before this deal ends. Or also, you know, with every purchase, you get an entry to win some cash and a great car. So definitely head on over to thealexjonesstore.com now. More on the way.
Let me tell you about this. Our sponsor, Bigly, and the products they have at thealexjonesstore.com are whatever the highest source, best quality, highest rated products are, we go out and private label them and in some cases soup them up and make them even better. So we did a year ago a survey, what do listeners want? And you wanted methylene blue, you wanted beef tallow that Kennedy talks about, which I know is great for cooking and is so much better for you than seed oils, and you wanted high-quality Shilajit. We brought you all the best. They've sourced the best. This is so heavy. This is so huge. Tiny little scoop of this with whatever you're cooking makes it taste so great, whether it's potatoes, whether it's eggs, whatever you're cooking. Beef tallow is so delicious. This is concentrated beef tallow, private label from the top ones in the country. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients. Unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage, beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health. Get 25% off now when you become a subscriber today and then lock in a bigger discount. Cancel any time for free at alexjonesstore.com. Beef tallow has been all the rage. It's what the listeners asked for. We've got the best for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And separately, creatine of the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligram gummies, huge container of them. Look into neurological studies, Alzheimer's, you name it. It's so good for young people, old people. Everybody needs it. Got it, 2 flavors, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's your funding of this operation that makes it all possible. I need your support. I am funded by you. I am supported by you. And I'm battling the Democrat Party law firms that have been trying to shut us down. And we've been winning thanks to your support. But it takes money to fight this war. So don't wait. Get our creatine gummies. Get the new incredible beef tallow. Just as amazing or more is the bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks from cow's milk is the ultimate combo of super nutrients. You name it, for your immune system, your clarity, your focus, your hair, your skin, your nails. It's crazy. These are the best products. These are amazing. They will change your life. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And if you're going to buy anything there, become a VIP. $30 a month. Cancel anytime for free. The minute you become a VIP in your profile, you get $40 to spend instantly, making $10. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP. Cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for standing with us. We'll never back down, never give in, but we could give out without your support. So you are the reason we're still here, and I thank you and salute you for it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome to TheAlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Power up today.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. All right, we're halfway through the second hour of the program. Excited that you're all joining us today, of course. A lot that we still haven't been able to kind of dig through, specifically the J6 pipe bomber story. I'll bring the latest on that in just a moment. In the meantime, though, we will be taking your calls in the third hour of the program. So give us a call if you'd like to discuss any of the topics we've discussed thus far. It's 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. Let's keep those topics relevant to the topics we've discussed thus far. Yesterday, we had some callers on the line we didn't get to because some of the calls went long, so I want to try to get to everyone. So again, 877-789-2539. Okay, so let's talk about the pipe bomber, the suspect. This individual, Brian Cole Jr., has officially been charged with the explosive devices that were left behind, allegedly, around the RNC and the DNC. Now, according to CNN, that is a white guy, but thankfully you have your own eyes, of course. It was very interesting to sit back and watch because, again, 5 years? I mean, I don't know what the explanation for this all is. This took a very long time to get to the bottom of this. And when you read the criminal complaint, well, it sounds like they should have had this in the bag, if this is true, within a couple of months. So what the heck happened here? Well, I want to turn to clip 15 because the Attorney General Pam Bondi says that the tip received, which they said brought them to the suspect, it wasn't a new tip. Take a listen.
Thank you so much. So any theory on why Kamala Harris has never mentioned coming within 20 feet of being assassinated, and any news on why her Secret Service team took so long to find this bomb at the DNC?
No, but what I will tell you is that evidence has been sitting there collecting dust. This wasn't a new tip. It wasn't some new evidence. It was the hard work of President Trump's administration, Deputy Director Bongino and Director Patel. I watched them from day one come in here and say, we are going to solve this crime. And they did, working hand in hand with U.S. Attorney Pirro and all of our great attorneys.
Okay, so they claim that they have caught the J6 pipe bomber. I don't know if this is a slam dunk, but I'm no great legal mind, but joining us is one. Please welcome to the show, Joseph McBride. He is a criminal defense attorney, trial lawyer, and overall patriot. And I look forward to hearing his take on all of this, because I know McBride has been following this story, of course, for many, many years now. It's good to have you on, my friend. I just kind of want to get your take to start this off with this criminal complaint. What are your thoughts on it thus far?
It doesn't feel right to me. It feels like a load of crap. I am not buying what they're selling at all. Look, the idea that they had this information for 5 years and they sat on it, it was in some dusty room somewhere, and they just came upon it now after the Blaze put out their story, it stinks to high heaven. I don't believe it. I don't trust the government. I certainly don't trust the FBI. This FBI team, the Department of Justice, has not delivered on its promises to the American people. This feels like I don't know what to call it, Brianna. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel right. The idea that they have somebody who looks like this guy, walks like this guy, talks like this guy, who doesn't fit the model that everybody thought the pipe bomber was going to fit, that this guy was just sitting there on the shelf the entire time, is absolute nonsense. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. And, I'm interested to see what it says, to see what comes out. But this is what we do know. We know that there's the principle of cause and effect. Whether or not the Blaze got it right or got it wrong, the Blaze provoked the Department of Justice and the FBI to do whatever it needed to do to either find this guy or come up with this information. The timing is off. My gut is off about it. I go on my gut on everything in life, and I disobey my gut. I pay dearly for it. So I'm going to stick with my gut until I see more evidence indicating that this is actually what they claim it to be, because right now none of this feels right. None of it feels right at all.
Yeah, McBride, I actually did challenge a little bit of this because I read this criminal complaint, although this might be good as like additional evidence to seal the deal. This doesn't feel like a slam dunk at all. It just feels like, okay, they were in the area at the time based on their cell phone records. If I wanted to pin something on someone, maybe you could use that as an excuse. You could take their phone somewhere to pin them in the air. I mean, it's not a slam dunk for me. The conspiracy theories in my own head kind of go off. And I asked the FBI specifically those questions as to, is there more here? They said to me specifically that there's more evidence. I said, how did you even get to this guy to even know to look at his financial records to dig into all of this? They said, we'll learn more over the next couple of days, and especially when he does make his first criminal appearance in court, which is expected later this afternoon. So I look forward to seeing that. But you know, when Steve Baker and the Blaze released their report as to who they suspected was the pipe bomber, I reached out to a bunch of people, and someone high up in national intelligence did tell me that they were briefed recently by the FBI, and the FBI did not name the suspect that they named, the Blaze named. The FBI had a person in mind, and it wasn't what the Blaze named. So here's my thought on this. If they knew who the suspect was, and you're familiar with FBI investigations, obviously, looking at them and defending people in court against them, why would it have taken weeks for them to even make this arrest in the first place?
There's no good answer for it. Mm-hmm. Again, none of it adds up. Look, the guys who went to the Capitol on January 6th, the amount of information that was obtained that day for people who went there is unprecedented in any investigation in the history of this country. January 6th is the largest and most expensive, comprehensive investigation in the history of the United States of America. That is not hyperbole. That is a factual statement. They should have bank records. They should have his phone pinging in wherever he was. They should be able to locate him. They should have his social media records, and they should have 5 years of history after that. What did he do? Where did he go? Who did he speak to? What did he post about? So on and so forth. My understanding from the articles that I've read is that his family is denying it. You have a mother or a grandmother who's denying it, saying that, you know, he's a quiet guy. He's not really into politics, and there's no way he did things like this. So sometimes in these situations, you have a parent going, yeah, my child, there's something off about him. And we were wondering, this is not one of those situations. The family appears to be taking up for him, right? So we don't know enough, yet. So right now, this isn't much different than the Blaze story. What I can say is that I've worked on these cases personally for a very long time with all types of people, and that not any point in time did the government ever work with us, ever try to help us. They did nothing but try to hurt us, obstruct us, and thwart our investigations. We had to put together puzzle pieces that took months and years to do. Sometimes you get it wrong. Sometimes you get it right. But I give my credit to the people at the Blaze, whether they got it right or whether they got it wrong. It was a good faith, patriotic effort to do the right thing, because the FBI up until that point had done squat, had done nil, nada, zilch, nothing for 5 years. So the fact that we have something now, again, it's the principle of cause and effect. Now, this individual who's been charged is innocent until proven guilty. He has a right to a fair trial. He has a right to competent representation, and he has a right to defend himself. And if the FBI gets this wrong, then they'll have egg on their face. But the idea that this guy just got conjured up out of thin air, some dusty file that was sitting on a shelf somewhere, and all of a sudden they found it through their hard work, it's a load of crap. It's insulting to the American people. It's insulting to anybody who practiced law for a long time, to anybody who knows anything about investigating crimes or investigating anything like this. And we have to see what they say. But I, my skepticism and my healthy dose of distrust in our government, so a principle that our founding fathers shared with us, is at an all-time high. And, you know, I won't believe anything about this guy until it's proven in court. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be rooting for this guy. I'm going to be rooting for this guy against the FBI. That's how much I don't believe it. And if he goes down, then he goes down. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I want to see more evidence. I want to see what else they have, because all of this just feels like, I mean, I know what the FBI, I know what these three-letter agencies are capable of doing to people. I've seen it time and time again. You know, I've spoken with Cheryl Atkinson. Another one is another great example. She was working on a bombshell report that embarrassed the Obama administration. And then a whistleblower told her to be careful because the federal government was looking to plant child pornography on her husband's device. And they were in the process of doing that. And so I know what they do. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this is a slam dunk. I need to see more evidence to really sell me on this. And I'm sure even if they were to bring this in front of a jury in D.C., I don't see them getting a conviction on this at all right now. And, you know, by the way, while before we went to air with you, CNN just actually released a report saying that they believe that this person told the FBI, Cole, the suspect, told the FBI that he didn't believe in the 2020 election results. And so they're trying now, obviously, to make it appear like maybe there's a right-wing angle to all of this, CNN is at least. But keep in mind, there was about, I think it was 50% of Democrats also didn't believe that Joe Biden won the election either. So although they worked aggressively hard to make it a right-wing issue, it was actually something that was very bipartisan. But I wanted to turn to a clip of Dan Bongino yesterday, because they're all doing the victory lap right now. So Dan Bongino, deputy director of the FBI, did make an appearance yesterday on Fox News and was asked about why the previous administration didn't solve this case sooner. Take a listen.
Is you did not find any new evidence. It was all there, had been there for the longest period of time. The only difference between you and Director Wray and the Biden DOJ is they did not prioritize it. Why? And I know it wasn't easy to solve, but you did it in 8 months.
Yeah. John, I don't know what the hell this prior leadership team was doing outside of, targeting political opponents, weaponizing the FBI, destroying its reputation, embarrassing agents that are doing really good work out there, catching terrorists, CCP spies and everyone else. It's almost like they were intentionally trying to decimate faith in institutions. It's horrifying. I don't know what they were doing. I can tell you what happened, though, when we got there. The director and I, my first meeting, I swore in, and I kid you not, probably 15 minutes later, and the people who are in the meeting know, I said, when I get in there, I want a full brief on this pipe bomber case on day one. And I looked at the case agent after getting a full brief on what they'd done, and they had done some a pretty extensive amount of work. They had chased down, I think, thousands of leads, 6,000-plus interviews had been conducted, hundreds of tips. And it still was relatively stale, the case. And I grabbed the case agent on the way out. And I said, you're going to get me this guy. You're going to track this guy down and you're going to find him. You're going to get me this guy. I want him. And that started what's been almost a 9-month operation right now.
Fonji, you know, touting his own work there. We heard that clearly, obviously. But he outlined the fact that he's very aware that the previous administration was doing a lot of weaponization things behind the scenes. They were going after people, obviously. But there haven't been any arrests. There hasn't been anything meaningful. I mean, this is obviously great if this is the suspect, the pipe bomber. This is great news. But this is very, very late in the game, like you mentioned. It comes after the blaze broke, who they suspected was the person in all of this, responsible for this. But he's talking about what they did behind the scenes. How come we still haven't seen any major arrests in that sense?
It's a load of crap, man. That is acting. That is, what is he, Clint Eastwood? I pulled the guy aside and I said, I want you to get this guy. And he got, get the hell out of here, bro. What do you take me for? This is nonsense. None of this adds up.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing adds up about Thomas Crooks. Nothing adds up about the pipe bomber. The good people like you, good journalists out there, good lawyers out there, the American public were putting pressure on the FBI to perform. That's a great thing. But the idea that they're out there, you know, kicking ass and taking names and the posse is out there rounding up people and bringing them inside and they're all being prosecuted for the people who are in that administration and all the horrible things they've done. It's a load of garbage. Look, if this is the guy, and at the end of the day, if they prosecute this guy and he's convicted beyond a reasonable doubt and the evidence demonstrates to the court and to the public that this is him, well, then God bless America. That's a good day. Until that day comes, Dan Bongino, I'm sorry to say, I think you're a great guy. I'm not buying what you're selling. I like you much more as a podcaster. I'm not feeling the whole FBI thing at all. And none of this feels real to me. I think anybody with their spidey senses who are looking at the situation, just like people looked at the election and they said, you know, I don't have all the facts, but I know the election was stolen. I know in my gut and I know in my heart of hearts that we got robbed. I feel the same exact way about all this nonsense. So until they prove it up, you know, going on Fox News and talking to Sean Hannity and, oh yeah, we did it. And you know, I pulled him aside. Do this for your country, kid. You know, make us all proud. Get the hell out of here. I'm not buying it at all. None of it makes sense. We need information, we need facts, we need convictions. Until then, I mean, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. I don't even want to hear about it. It's nonsense.
Well, and since we're on the topic of nonsense, I was really fired up this week when I saw that he put this tweet out about our own Miranda Devine. Now, I say our own because I think Miranda Devine has proven time and time again that she's an absolute patriot. She was one of the only people who were brave enough to bring us the Hunter Biden laptop story. In fact, I know personal background that it was punted at Fox and then the New York Post took it because I was told by sources that she applied a lot of pressure for the Post to run it. And then you have Dan Bongino referring to Devine, who's highly respected as a deep state divine is the nickname he's given her in all of this, all because of a report that she put out with people who worked for the FBI, who supported this new leadership change and want them to, particularly to go out there and to reform the agency. Now, they've given forward a report, I believe it's like 119 pages of their assessment on the job that's been done so far about Dan Bongino and Cash Patel, what they've done so far at the agency. And the interesting point to this is one of the major, major things is they're calling out people like the deputy director for caring more about social media posts rather than going and getting to the crux of this job and going into there to actually do the uprooting of the corruption issues. And then Dan, I guess, proves Miranda's reporting, right? And then just goes out there and calls her deep state divine and then attacks her reporting because he cares more about social media than presenting the facts. I mean, to be fair, McBride, I've continuously reached out about personnel matters, people who are being fired, at least give me a number of how many people have been fired who you've linked to a lot of these weaponization events that were taking place under the Biden regime, and they can't give me anything. I'm not asking for names. Give me numbers. So while they're sitting there and telling you that there's people who are trying to advocate for the old guard, and they're against the new reforms that have been made, I mean, why the heck can't you just give us some information about the new reforms being made? Because we're not seeing anything.
First off, Dan Bongino should issue an apology, a formal apology to Miranda Devine. Calling Miranda Devine deep state divine is absolutely ridiculous. That's like calling Trump the deep state. It makes no sense. First off, when it comes to January 6th stuff, she was the first mainstream journalist at the New York Post, the first member of the mainstream media to cover it, right? She wrote an article about work I was doing back in January or February of 2021. I mean, that's how early and how courageous she was when it comes to this stuff. And then there's the laptop from hell. There's the Hunter Biden story. There's the fact that she took on the intelligence community internationally when she went after Hunter Biden, put herself at great risk. She was celebrated by everybody on the right. She continues to be celebrated by everybody for her good work, including Dan Bongino. The fact that he's now calling her deep state divine, and he's not saying that as a podcaster. He's saying that as somebody who's a part of the upper echelon of the FBI, the federal government. It is absolutely ridiculous. It is preposterous. It is wrong. It is filthy. He should never, ever say something like that. Dan Bongino, you're not a private citizen anymore. You work for me. You work for Brianna Murillo. You work for Miranda Devine. You work for the American public. You are funded and you are paid by the American taxpayer. And by virtue of your post, you need to endure and you need to understand and you need to welcome criticism and skepticism that comes from the American public, especially well-thought-out journalists who are a minority in today's world. The fact that you're calling her deep state divine is disgusting. And when you leave your post and you come back to the podcast world, you know, I look forward to debating you on the issue. I look forward to having a conversation with you on the issue, whatever it's going to be. But you need to apologize about it because what you did is wrong. And you're not doing it as a private citizen. You're doing it as a member of the federal government. It's absolutely ridiculous. It shatters his credibility as a man. It shatters his credibility as a podcaster. It shatters his credibility as a member of the American right, which, again, and now all of a sudden they have this case that makes all this other bad crap go away. I'm not buying any of this at all, Brianna. I don't like it. It stinks to high heaven. I don't trust it. And again, we have to see what happens. I think there's just been an unprecedented level of incompetence. These people have laid down and done nothing. And all of a sudden, when their back is up against the wall, they come up with a dusty file in a room. So, man, we got the guy. Nah, doesn't work like that. It's not reality.
Yeah, and the burn bag story, there's more there that we're going to learn more about in the time coming because they continue to go, oh, there's burn bags left in a closet space, but they won't tell you how they got to the burn bags. They won't tell you who the source of that was and what happened to that source afterwards. And you know, we're still digging into that, but this is what they do. They continuously go out there, McBride, and they continue to just poke and poke. And people who are brave enough to come forward and who don't want these exclusives handed to them directly, like so many other outlets like the Fox Newses of the world do, who actually speak and who actually speak against the machine, the FBI machine still, which Miranda Devine is doing, they attack her. And I think it's an absolute disgrace because she's so well-respected. In fact, the administration respects her enough that so many people, key people, sit down with her, including the president, and do have discussions with her. So it's an absolute disgrace, of course. I want to turn to, while we still have time, Tish James, because you know the reports yesterday that a federal grand jury in Virginia has rejected filing charges against her. This is interesting given the fact that obviously the original charges were dismissed. What's the status of all of this? Because if a grand jury, in fact, does reject possibly indicting her, can we still wait and maybe hold off for like the appeals process on the dismissal originally?
No, it's over. She won. It's a wrap. Look, President Trump is a lot of things. He's a lot of great things. He's a good businessman. He's a great executive. Mm-hmm. When it comes to tariffs, when it comes to the economy, when it comes to foreign relations, he's spot on. One of his weak spots, in my humble opinion, is the legal counsel that he's appointed, the lawyers who surround him, the lawyers who were at the DOJ, the lawyers who are at other places. When he was defending the election lawsuits or whether he's prosecuting these suits now, they're not getting their job done. Lawyers are judged on their results. Lawyers are judged on their ability to advocate, their ability to put up a good fight, and their results. And you have to understand, when you're going into like a court like D.C. or New York or certain parts of Virginia, you're going to have to deal with the judges there. You're going to have to deal with the system there. And unless your case is airtight, you're going to lose because the court is stacked against you. One of the things about President Obama, Barack Obama, who went before obviously President Trump, was he was a lawyer. He was a well-thought-out lawyer, and he appointed people to the bench all over the bench that are still affecting the what's going on right now, right? These are Obama-appointed judges that are repeatedly shooting down what President Trump is trying to accomplish, right? This stuff has been happening. The legal team knows this. They're going in. Sometimes there's people who haven't been appointed. Or they've been appointed, but they haven't been confirmed by the Senate. They're being challenged, and rightfully so. There are other times where they're going in half-cocked, and they don't have all the facts. These are not cases by social media or the court of public opinion. These are cases in a court of law where you have to prove up the charges even to get an indictment. It's harder for a right-leaning cause or a right-leaning prosecution objectively to get an indictment, to get a case to trial and to win trial at any of these courts. We're seeing that. I think President Trump is the greatest president that certainly of my lifetime, maybe the greatest president that the United States has ever had. But I do think that one of his weak spots is when it comes to the lawyers that he's appointed and that he has surrounding him. So, this is another failure. We're seeing these failures all over the place. And, I don't think that it's going to get any better. I hope that President Trump focuses on what's really important when it comes to the legal process, and that's getting as many judges as he possibly can on the bench.
Yeah, McBride, that needs to be a top priority because we continuously have these issues. And I know that's his priority personally, but it's the people behind the scenes who I don't think are carrying out his agenda appropriately. So we'll continue to see. I know Cash Patel yesterday during interviews, the FBI director, giving some type of hints that it's not completely over yet, but it seems pretty much like that one is dead on arrival at this point. McBride, thank you for all the incredible work that you do. And of course, joining us to give us your perspective on all of this, give him a follow on X, McBride Law NYC. That's McBride Law NYC. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Brianna. Have a nice day.
You as well. All right, folks, we are taking your call in the next segment of the program. Give me a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Maybe you like Piers Morgan and you don't like my take on all of this and you want to debate me on Piers Morgan being a patriot. Give us a call. We could talk about it. We could hash things out. And a lot of you guys are online right now want to talk the J6 pipe bomber story as well. So we'll get to your calls in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because right now we've got a couple of hours left in this contest to win a couple of really cool rides. You could win a Jeep 392 as well as a 2025 Ford Raptor. And if that's not good enough, we're also going to throw in potentially $20,000. Every purchase gets you about 50 times the entries that we normally do give out for all of this. So your odds of winning go drastically up. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. As if that wasn't a reason enough, we're also doing buy one, get one free on all supplements right now over at the shop. Again, buy one, get one free. That's only going to be lasting another couple of hours. So don't put this off. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. This is an incredible sale, incredible opportunity, of course, to win two sick rides and a lot of cash over at thealexjonesstore.com. More ahead.
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported, love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days. The rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the ultramethylene blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish sea moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong. You know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Make the decision now. Get our ultramethylene blue. Get our Shilajit. get our bovine colostrum. It's amazing. Experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship. But I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful beacon of truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at InfoWarsStore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key, you're everything.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the CMOS and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
They were wrong about that. They said it would be unaffordable for the country. They were wrong about that.
You get a law which said healthy people are going to pay in. It made explicit the healthy people pay in and sick people get money. It would not have passed. Okay? Just like the people, lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
No one has to keep their private insurance. They can buy into this plan. And they can buy into it with a $1,000 deductible and never have to pay more than 8.5% of their income when they do it. And if they don't have any money, they'll get in free. So this idea is a bunch of malarkey.
The technical issues plaguing the Obamacare website rollout are only part of the problem. Many who managed to navigate the system, gotten quotes, planned to sign up, are now saying no thank you. They're finding the Affordable Care Act is unaffordable, at least for them.
Their health care company has informed them their current plan will cease in the next year because it doesn't comply with the Affordable Health Care Act. She needs to find a new plan. So Christy, a part-time teacher, and her husband, who owns a video company, went online. And after a week of trying, finally figured out just what kind of insurance she could get under the Affordable Care Act. And for her, it seems unaffordable.
All that really truly is a tapeworm on the economic system. I mean, it is eating up, instead of $170 per person in 1960, when we actually thought we were doing pretty well in this arena, to over $10,000 per person. Just think of that, $10,000 per person, you know, family of four, on balance, $40,000 of GDP going to just one aspect of their lives.
More than a decade before the Affordable Care Act's disastrous consequences became undeniable, Alex Jones, Michael Snyder, and Mike Adams repeatedly warned that Obamacare was deliberately engineered not to fix health care, but to break the private insurance market and force America into a government-run single-payer system.
It will actually reduce the deficit by $4 trillion over the long term. Reducing the waste and inefficiency in Medicare and Medicaid will pay for most of this plan. It will slow the growth of healthcare costs for our families, our businesses, and our government. There will be a provision in this plan that requires us to come forward with more spending cuts if the savings we promised don't materialize.
They documented Obama's serial abandonment of the public option, his knowingly false promises that Americans could keep their plans and doctors.
If you've got health care already, then you can keep your plan if you are satisfied with it.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
The president opens the borders up, but then he says, but we're not going to pay for any of the health care. This is 100% paid for by state taxpayers. The program of health care that they get is actually better than those of our own residents that are on Medicaid. So our low-income, struggling families in Illinois that are on Medicaid, they do not get as good as services as these non-citizens are getting that are coming into Illinois. So that's costing us significantly more than it costs our own residents. And in addition to the over $1 billion cost of health care, we're also providing free daycare for their children. We're including free housing, food subsidies, cash subsidies. So the total cost of this program is in the billions of dollars. And that means key programs for our developmentally disabled, for our seniors. These people are now being crowded out. Our own citizens' programs are not getting the funding they need because now we are becoming the healthcare provider for every sick individual in the world that can come to Illinois.
Over $1 billion stolen in just the past few months in 6 states. Individuals aren't doing much better. According to a recent report, 6.4 million people are fraudulently receiving Obamacare subsidies from you and me. 62% of Obamacare subsidy recipients don't even qualify. That lie is costing all of us over $27 billion a year, all while our insurance premiums just keep escalating.
The horrible truth, the failures Americans have endured for going on 2 decades, were not accidents of implementation, but the intended result of a law whose architects knew from the beginning it would never deliver what they promised and doom Americans to the healthcare reality nightmare we are experiencing in 2025. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal Worksite that you're all joining us today. A lot to dive into in the final hour of today's show, and we've got our good friend Stuart Rhodes here to help me with all of that. We're kicking off today's show, obviously, with a lot going on, but I wanted to highlight what our first call, or one of our callers who called in before, Chad did, because you were listening on your way in.
Yes.
And it's important for us to highlight that he was going off on the rogue judges, and how do we fix this issue? And that's how we kind of started off this show, highlighting all the rogue judges, what they've been doing. Obviously, James Boasberg is like the big name that comes to mind when we think about that, but also, you know, we just heard about this judge, I believe it was in Minnesota, who decided just to toss out the jury who convicted a Somalian man of fraud, and she just tossed it out because she just didn't think it was appropriate. The decision that they came to and what the prosecution was saying was appropriate, so she just decided to take amongst herself to toss it all out. I mean, we've got a issue when it comes to these judges.
Absolutely.
Chad wanted to know how we fix it.
I think the best thing to do is exposure.
Yeah.
I've been saying this for years, but it's the answer. First, you expose their own criminality. All of these judges are just like all the congressmen. They're all corrupt. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why they're where they're at. That's how they got where they're at. And that's how they're protected. So you need to expose them. And President Trump can do that. I think you should put Tulsi Gabbard in charge of the mission and delegate to her his power to declassify. And I was listening to Alex yesterday talking about how they need, like, his own intelligence service outside of the CIA because the CIA is so corrupt. Well, he's got it. It's called the U.S. military. U.S. military intelligence handled all of our intelligence for our country before the CIA, so they're not even necessary. So what they should do is put Tulsi Gabbard in charge of declassification and use military intelligence. And it comes right down to it. They should just kick everybody out of the CIA building, out of the NSA buildings, and the FBI, for that matter, even under Cash Patel right now. Just kick them all out, have them go do some remote, you know, work from home, and then go through and clean out all the files and find all the dirt and all the, start with the judges. Start with the judges and then go through Congress too. So just like with Elon Musk, he took over Twitter. First thing he did is blew the doors open and showed all the internal chatter. DHS, NSA, CIA agents sitting in, FBI sitting in with Twitter about who to censor. All of that was exposed by Elon Musk. Exposure is the answer. Doge was the right course. he should doze the entire government, but that's what he should do.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you know, we're talking also, we could bring up the FBI director again, since you mentioned the FBI. Unfortunately, Kash Patel hasn't really been leading up to what we've been, I guess most of us were hopeful that he was going to be this incredible director and he was going to go based on what his own promises were prior to it's so upset. I mean, we talked about the Thomas Kirk stuff. I don't know if you saw, Tucker Carlson did a great job. I followed up with the same documents that he had, as well as Miranda Devine. We all got the same documents. And he's out here just saying, oh, well, we showed the American people everything. They didn't show everything until we forced their hand. I mean, how do we sit here and win back this country when we've got people like Kash Patel who literally he outlined how to, you know, what all the government corruption was, but he's not really going after it.
No, he needs to be fired because whatever his excuse, whatever the reason is, he has reversed course, is now the deep state's bitch.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, look at what he said when the revelation came that there are 274 FBI undercover in the crowd on J6. First of all, it didn't come from his office, which where it should have come from. It came from an office in Congress. But then he covered for them by saying, oh, they were improperly used that day or crowd control, which Steve Baker pointed out correctly is complete bullshit.
Yeah.
So, and President Trump also called it correctly. It's like they were not there for a legitimate purpose. So it's ridiculous, and it's just frustrating that I think President Trump still wants accountability for that, still wants the deep state cleaned out, but the people he's put in charge of it don't have any cojones, and so I think he should be fired. And frankly, so should Bongino, because Bongino has just sat on his hands as well. He's said nothing.
Well, I mean, that's the disappointing part in all of this. And, you know, the last time we spoke, actually, you were talking about, I just want to keep reminding us to our audience, you were talking about restarting up the Oath Keepers. Obviously, you were the founder of the Oath Keepers.
Yes.
We're back in full effect because, you know,
yes,
we can't trust our federal government. We can't trust even local sometimes. I'm very doubtful of. So I think you've got a good idea to bring this back together. And it was kind of a dark start to our callers today because a lot of them thought doomsday was coming and that everyone would start prepping. And
well, it is unless the Trump administration makes a radical change and gets back on track. First 3 months, they did great work with Doge. They were cleaning house. But then since then, it's obvious that President Trump has put the wrong people in power.
Yeah.
And he needs to fix that. He can fix it. So as I've said before, it's our duty to push him to do his duty.
Yeah.
But the meanwhile, though, we need to get ourselves strong. So, yes, I've relaunched Oath Keepers, oathkeepers.info. Folks can go there. You can join whether you're prior service or not. We always accepted associate members because I believe every American has responsibility to stand up for the Constitution.
Yeah.
And it'll be our job as veterans. Like, I was a paratrooper in the Army. So my job and the job of other veterans and organizations is to train you in how to take care of yourself and your local community. And we're also launching the Strong County Project, which will work from the very bottom up, neighborhood first, then church, then town, then county, to strengthen this country and get it squared away. So we have a responsibility. Duty is ours, results are God's. That's our duty, is to get strong, but also at the same time, push President Trump to do his duty.
Yeah, and I want to remind our audience, you guys can head over to givesendgo.com/oath to help Stewart's efforts to do all of this. Obviously, this is a very expensive thing to do, and you're trying your very best to bring back this country to make sure that the American people are protected and safe. Yeah. So I just wanted to highlight that as we continue to dig into all these topics.
And if I don't have online credit card processing yet, but if they go on givesendgo.com/oath and do a $100 donation, just make a note that it's for membership and I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll make sure it gets processed.
That's good to go. That's good to know. Again, guys, that's givesendgo.com/oath for all of that. That's where you're going to want to go for that. Stuart, I want to keep digging into this because, you know, we continue to play these clips of the FBI director, and it's really not going anywhere with him.
No.
I know you're like ready to flip switch a little bit. You know, we heard President Trump, and let's play that clip again, actually, because I think it's really interesting. You know, President Trump was asked about this yesterday as he's making his way to West Palm Beach. I want to play, it is, I think, clip two, but let me just grab that for you. There was the clip. I can't find it, guys. It's the one where he's talking about the FBI. So we're going to play that clip for you when he's talking about FBI Director Kash Patel when he's asked if he plans on firing him. Like,
I heard that earlier, yes.
Okay, we'll play that clip actually right now, so take a listen.
And there would be nothing like it.
Are you planning to replace Kash Patel as
FBI? No, he's doing a good job.
This week?
Kash Patel? No, he's doing a great job, I think.
This week we saw those cases against
So as you hear there, he's saying he's happy with him. Your reaction to the president saying he's happy with what's going on right now?
I mean, it's frustrating. He should fire him right now. I mean, I'm not sure who to replace him with. Maybe someone like Carl Serafin or the other whistleblowers, Agent Friend, you know, someone like that. But he needs to fire him. And so this is not good for his own base to listen to him, you know, once again, it just seems like nothing's going to change. And just as like having the CEO of Pfizer in his office and declaring the guy did a great job during COVID, that has alienated more of his own base. And this is the same thing. We're very frustrated. We want Cash Patel gone. And so it's highly frustrating. I mean, hopefully he's planning on firing him and doesn't want that known yet. But I don't believe in 5D chess anymore. You know, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene was absolutely correct in her resignation letter. And that kind of pulled the curtain back and said, okay, there is no plan to save the world. There is no 5D chess going on. That's very black pill. I still want to hold out hope that President Trump can correct course. I think Alex is on the right track in trying to get him to do that. But it's like the first administration. He's been surrounded by people that are deep staters. And I have no confidence in Susie Wiles. I disagree with Roger Stone on that completely. So I just know that, you know, the proof's in the pudding, and what have they done so far?
Well, tell us a little bit more about the Susie Wiles angle, because I think it's interesting.
Well, I side with Ivan on that. I think Ivan Lincoln's correct about that. She's the gatekeeper in the White House. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anybody that crosses her is immediately blackballed out of access. So that's possibly why Roger Stone is saying, oh no, she's good to go, because he doesn't want to lose access. I don't know, but that's just my gut. Mm-hmm. So I think that President Trump needs to clean house entirely, aside from Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, Robert Kennedy Jr., he just stood there like an idiot, like a bump on the log while the CEO of Pfizer is being praised as a hero. And he just stood there and said nothing. Yeah. So I don't trust him anymore either, frankly. It's sad but true.
Yeah, the Susie Wiles thing is interesting to me because, you know, when I was living in Florida, the big point there was that everyone was telling me that Governor Ron DeSantis pushed her out for that reason alone, that the access reason, that she was the guard to him, mm-hmm. and he didn't like that. And so that was the reason why the two of them parted ways, although that hasn't been 100% confirmed. That was just rumor, but that's what a lot of people are seeing behind the scenes. We're kind of seeing it play out right now with President Trump as well. There's a lot of questionable things happening right now with the administration. You know, you mentioned MTG. Let's kind of focus on that a bit, because when she announced her resignation just a few days ago, last Friday, actually, I was really, really upset. Not because of the obvious. You know, I do love her and I appreciate all that she's done, but the reality is now I'm upset because, like, that's the reality that we all have to face now, that this is it's not what we signed up for. It's not what we voted for. I was enthusiastic when the president made his way back into the White House on election night. Got very emotional for a lot of us because we knew that there was going to be great things ahead. That's what we were hopeful for.
I was emotional, too. That's a fact.
Well, that was my big one. Yeah, well, because, you know, so many of my...
We were in prison at the time, yeah.
So that was the one good thing.
It was a great night.
I was just talking to friends, and you could kind of walk us through that. I was just talking to friends, too, and I was telling them, you know, I was very excited... because I knew my friends who I've made behind prison bars, all of you guys who were there, and I was calling you, texting you guys were going to be freed.
Right.
That's the only exciting moment that I've had thus far under this administration. Nothing else has changed.
Well, that and Doge. Doge was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the right course right there. So, I mean, I don't like what I just saw with President Trump condemning Marjorie Taylor Greene as a traitor. She's not a traitor.
She's not.
And neither is Massey. Mm-hmm. And neither is Rand Paul. Okay. And so I don't know what's going on with that. He's been, I think someone's gotten in his ear and said, oh, these people are not loyal to you. And so therefore they're traitors. They're loyal to the Constitution. And if Trump is varying from that, I have a responsibility to call him out also.
Yeah.
Under my oath. I have to. So the big, beautiful bill was anything but. It was horrible. All it does is it increased more spending with a bunch of crap, you know, thrown in.
Yeah.
Like they always do. And so she called that out. She called out the Epstein files for what it is. He was working for Mossad and CIA, obviously. Mm-hmm. There really is a client list. And for some reason, they've reversed course and are hiding that now. And so he's lost credibility with his own base. So, you know, throwing in the trash the three strongest constitutionalists in Congress is not a good way to roll to keep the majority in Congress. But I fear that the old guard, like Lindsey Graham, for example, and the GOP, they don't care about losing control. They would rather have lose the House and Senate, you know, lose control and still continue the grift that they're part of rather than taking it down. They don't want that to happen. So they're more than happy to go ahead and spike the control of Congress.
But we saw that firsthand. This is a great point that you bring up, because we saw Lindsey Graham. He had no problem during the last big midterms. It was supposed to be a red wave, everyone said, and it wasn't a red wave. And that's because Lindsey Graham, knowing that we did not have, obviously, the White House and we didn't have the majority anywhere else, Lindsey Graham went in front of the cameras and said, you know, I want to present an abortion ban, which obviously is not realistic because you don't have the numbers to back that up. But he did that to fire up their base and to get them out to vote, because he knows that that's a really emotional issue for so many on the left. but they'll go out and vote just on the single issue of abortion. I mean, that is their big one. And so to sit there and watch Lindsey Graham do that and completely derail the Republican Party, I don't know how we associate with him anymore. And then we're watching, and I know you're going to love the way on this one, or the Arctic Frost. He's playing victim. He's saying, oh, I'm going to sue. Then they put the provision in the CR to make sure that they had a clear lane to sue for $500,000. I mean, this guy is an absolute piece of garbage. And then you have the president going after Marjorie Taylor Greene, obviously, like you mentioned, Massey, as well as Paul as well. Right. But I think also the key point here is he can't get his own nominees confirmed by Republican senators. And he will never match that same level of energy right. that he had for all three of those individuals that he had these senators. He doesn't speak out. I remember there's a couple of people who said, well, you know,
Tillis, for example.
Yes.
From North Carolina.
And he won't do anything about it. He'll sit there and say, oh, well, I need, it's going to cost me too much political capital. And then he just bounces on the idea. And then he goes with a safe pick, like he did with Pam Bondi. I mean, Pam Bondi was thrown into her position because he couldn't get anyone else confirmed that would have actually been productive.
Right.
And so here we are now, and he's going after people who are on his side. People vote with him about, what, 90% of the time. And he's a slight disagreement with them, and he goes off the rails.
Right. I think he's been steered into that, bringing back to Susie Wiles.
Yeah.
It goes the same thing with who he supports, endorses around the country. He's endorsing horrible rhinos, endorsing, you know, deep state, surveillance state neocons mm-hmm. who his own base with the Ron Paul Republicans, the independents will never support. And so he's losing his own base. I think it's being done intentionally, like I said. They would prefer to lose and one reason why they would want to lose control of the House and Senate, because now they have the excuse to sit back and go, oh, we lost control. So we can't get anything passed anymore. It's the same old dog and pony show. So it releases them from any liability in the long run. They can tell their constituents, I'm fighting the good fight, when they're sitting on their hands and letting the bad guys take over.
Yeah, we just got breaking news in. I just wanted to bring this to our audience. It's very brief, though. It's only one sentence that we have right now as we continue to see more developments. But Georgia has just decided to dismiss all outstanding charges against those involved in the 2020 election interference case.
That's
the one with President Trump and all of his co-defendants. So, I mean, we knew that was coming. We knew that was going to happen, but it looks like it's official now. That's according to Fox News and NBC News as well,
right.
that this is being dismissed. That was one of the many cases that they should have never brought on in the first place. And yet here we are. Your reaction, again, this was like Fannie Willis and all of them out there. They were literally working at the White House. When you looked at the logs to see who was coming into the White House, it was people associated with Fannie Willis, the special prosecutor Nathan Wade as well.
No, that's good news.
Yeah.
And I want to give props to Trump for something he did right.
Mm-hmm.
He pardoned all the alternate slates. He went ahead and did like a preemptive pardon
mm-hmm.
of John Eastman, Sidney Powell, and the other attorneys who are working for that. And I think it actually applies to us J6ers who still need a pardon. That's the argument I'm going to make. It's because I think Ivan Reitman's correct about that. The language in there is loose enough. It says any other, not limited to these people, but listed to the names of all those people and said not limited to them, anyone who stood up and opposed the 2020 election coup and called for full disclosure investigation in support of the alternate states. Well, I did that, for example. So I think this is good. So I'm going to give props to President Trump for that. I think he wants a 2020 election investigated, which is why I'm frustrated. But the DOJ has not been cleaned out. This is why he can't get any indictments, because, you know, the first U.S. attorney assigned to the Comey case, it was dragging his feet intentionally to run the clock out. So Trump installed his own lawyer to go take care of it, and she did very effectively. And then now, of course, the judge is saying she's not, you know, properly appointed. So that just shows the need to purge the DOJ. I had a team of like 8 lawyers on me and my guys, so against us in our trial. So you shouldn't have to rely on one good lawyer because you can't trust the rest of the DOJ to do their job. The DOJ must be purged. The fact that Bondi has not purged the DOJ is why Bondi has to go. He's got to put a firebrand in there, and he can do a recess appointment. He can fire her over the holidays, put somebody else in while Congress is on holiday recess, install a firebrand, make Ed Martin Attorney General of the United States, for example. Yeah. Or Jeffrey Clark, bring him back in.
Well, it's funny because I'm actually going through, I just got a document sent over from Jeff Clark's legal team, and I was just going to go through that in a little bit. But
yeah. He's one of the ones pardoned by Trump, by the way, for that issue in Georgia.
And he's still dealing with it, though. You know, actually, right. I was very surprised. So they're trying to disbar him in D.C.
Yeah, no surprise.
Yeah, and they're also, like, I keep hearing he's one of the many people under attack right now because he's a patriot. He loves his country.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They don't like that. He is a loyalist when it comes to the Constitution, and so right. they don't like that. They're trying to purge him. But when it comes to Jeff Clark, it's not just him. You say Ed Martin.
Both of them. I mean, that's how you know they're good people, because they're being attacked.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. And we saw last week, too, there was a report that came out that claimed Ed Martin was under investigation by the DOJ. That falls. We spoke to Ed Martin directly, and he said it's not true. He's not under investigation. But there's a reason why they wouldn't confirm Ed Martin. They pushed back so hard, and it's because Ed Martin's got nothing to lose. He loves his country. He would have been an individual who would actually push for all these people to go to prison, and they pushed so aggressively hard to make sure that he wasn't the president's nominee.
They're afraid of him.
Exactly.
Right. And now he's in charge of the weaponization department, but the word is from Pierre Turton is that he's not being funded. That Todd Blanche is blocking his support and being able to actually do his job. So same thing. So I think Bondi should be fired and Todd Blanche should be fired too.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And then, you know, Ed Martin's been such a powerhouse when it comes to all of this. So it's really upsetting to continue to hear. We're going to keep our eye on that though, because Ed Martin definitely is someone who we want to go out there and to get justice. But again, he can't do this on his own. He needs the DOJ to back him, and I don't think he has the support. Todd Blanche, your thoughts about him, because we continue to hear all the stories about how things just land on his desk. Like pardons, I'm being a patriot still. Yeah, and I was told, oh, your sources are good. We're telling you this from somebody who used to be on his team, but now all of a sudden they won't sit here and do anything about it. They won't sit there and they're like, oh, yeah, it's on his desk. But he's got a ton of things on his desk right now. But we have people who are patriots. I mean, I keep bringing it up. The officer involved in the Breonna Taylor shooting didn't shoot Breonna Taylor, but was there when his buddy got shot in the leg. Brett Hankinson, he is still right now sitting in solitary confinement, and our own DOJ placed him there but won't free him, even though they know that he was innocent and that he should have never been prosecuted in the first place. But Todd Blanche not doing anything about that.
Well, he's not the pardon attorney, but yet apparently he's blocking. Ed Martin's a pardon attorney, but obviously Ed Martin is being blocked by Todd Blanche. That's why he needs to be removed.
Yeah.
So President Trump has got to focus inward, and like Alex said yesterday, he's got to clean his own house.
Yeah.
He's got to make sure he has nothing but loyal patriots, not just loyal to him, but loyal to the country. Mm-hmm. That's what he has to have. That's what his base expects. And without that, I think he's going to, you know, he's going to cause his base to be black-pilled, and they're just going to stay home. And you can yell and scream at them all you want, GOP. They're going to stay home. They're not going to bother to turn out. Even the Trump loyal base is going to be dispirited and black-pilled and just will stay home. Like one of your callers said earlier, why should I go on a Tuesday and skip work to go vote for what? When it's going to change nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't matter who's has a majority. I mean, they don't. Well, Democrats, they further their agenda. They do actually pretty
well. It'll be worse if they get the majority. But the point is that the base will be dispirited. You're just not going to get the turnout. And this is loyal Trump or Trump people. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the crossover Democrats who voted for Trump because they believed he was going to actually take down the establishment and stand up for the little guy. And they see all the H-1B visas taking more American jobs. And they see, you know, 600,000 communist Chinese spies coming in, you know, called students. Mm-hmm. And they don't like that either. So they said, okay, they're not really putting America first. People want America first, period. We don't want AIPAC first. We don't want Israel first also. We want America first. And unless the Trump administration delivers that, he's going to lose the support of that massive coalition that voted for him in 2024.
It's so frustrating because I don't understand how they don't see this. They've got him so isolated.
I think they do. Like I said, they see it, but they don't care because they want MAGA to die.
Yeah.
They want America first to die because they're in on the grift. And this goes for the people in his circle that are making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they go and raise these big, massive fundraisers, $1 million a plate. I just heard about one coming up in Miami, $1 million a plate for a candlelight dinner with President Trump. So who's going to be there? Big Pharma, for example. They're going to be sitting at the table. And then they tell President Trump, oh, look, we just brought in $10 million, $20 million. For the midterms, we're going to win. And so all he sees is that. He thinks they're going to win the midterms.
Who's running that dinner? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm going to pass that to you guys to go look into it.
They pulled it up. We got the best control room.
It was a whistleblower that doesn't want to be identified, but this person's willing to talk to you guys.
Yeah, well, Trump's a headline, $1 million per person fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago. That was October 7th. That was published.
Right. There's one coming up in January down in Florida, in Miami.
So
I'll pass that to you guys because this person's willing to talk to you. He wants to pass the information to you.
Well, I would love to hear this because, I mean, again, that's just so unrealistic.
That's part of the grift.
Yeah.
There's the grift and, you know, I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, no.
But, like, you got the grift you obviously saw with Doge exposing all the lefties, what they do.
Yeah.
But there's grift in the fundraising circuit on the political right also.
Yeah.
And that's how they buy favors, pay per play.
Yeah, that's what I always say. It happens on both sides, and I saw it under the first term where people were getting consulting fees, and then magically the people that were paying for these consulting fees were getting pardons or whatever was needed necessary.
They're getting access.
Yes.
Like the CEO of Pfizer standing in the Oval Office being praised as a good guy.
He's
a mass murderer.
Yeah.
So the base looks at that. I mean, I think 99% of the Trump base now realizes that the shots are part of a intentional culling of the rural population.
Yeah, well, let's dig into that in just a little bit because we're about to hit a hard commercial break, but I wanted to dive into the Pfizer angle on this because this is really upsetting to continuously see. I know a lot of people have accused him of a lot of crazy things. They're not so crazy, and that's sarcasm, but the reality of it is, yeah, like you said, RFK Jr. being there, not speaking up, that's concerning. We'll dive into that in a minute. Folks, in the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We got our Black Friday sale going on early. You can get a great sweater like this, 25% off right now over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. Plus, it's BOGO on all supplements while supplies last over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking methylene blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operations a true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to the American Journal. We've got got our third hour kicking off right now with my guy, Stuart Rhodes here, who is, of course, the founder of Field Keepers. And we're talking a lot. It's been kind of disappointing lately so far.
A dumpster fire.
I know. I try to say it the nicer way. You're like, it's a dumpster fire, Brianna.
Well, it's been a dumpster fire, but hopefully it'll turn around. I have hope.
Well, listen, the one really good thing is if they allow it to get to President Trump, if he finds out that his base is really fired up and angry at him for a lot of things that have been happening, he might reverse course. That's the one good thing. He actually listens sometimes to the base. So that's the one good thing that we kind of hang on here. But, you know, before we went to break, we were talking about Pfizer and how disappointed we all were the fact that he continues to shuffle in the CEO of Pfizer. You know, we just did a story, too, on Meta and how they were allowing those who were accused of sex trafficking on their platforms like Facebook and Instagram to get up to 17 or 16 strikes. Their 17th strike was their way when they got their accounts pulled.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that was a big point in all of this. And I'll let you talk about that for a little bit. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg all of a sudden has access to the White House these days, having dinner with the president.
It's
this
disgusting.
Is the guy who literally Zuckerbucks. I mean, how did everyone forget about this?
Yeah, he funded the coup of 2020 across the country. You know, the very overt plot to steal the election was funded by Zuckerbucks. And it's just baffling that President Trump has him in his inner circle in the White House. Or right there in the front row during his inauguration, during his swearing-in ceremony.
Yeah, it's wasn't ridiculous. Even allowing to. I was originally, I got access to the inauguration, then obviously all the stuff that happened, my access was taken away. But
how do you explain that?
Yeah, but Zuckerberg got in.
Why?
Yeah. Money.
Yeah, I think in some ways President Trump believes that these men are intelligent. Well, they are, obviously, but they're also evil.
Yeah.
So he respects them as successful titans of business. And I think also with the tech world, I think he's falling into a major trap with Peter Thiel and the rest who are supposedly on his side.
Yeah.
They've wormed their way into his administration. Same goes for Bezos, you know, Amazon.com. So Meta building these massive data centers all over the United States, Meta's part of that, right? Those are for surveillance. I think that you guys had Maria V on over Sunday. She's completely right about that. So they don't give a damn about America. They're putting them in rural areas, draining the water, draining all the wells. They could build next to the oceans. They just don't care. And they're letting you know they don't care. And the ultimate purpose of those data centers is going to be mass surveillance over all of us.
Yeah, and, you know, the First Lady, because I also get her press announcements quite often. She's really an advocate for AI these days and like pushing us forward on AI. And there was a story. Okay, let me pull it up now. There was a story that I did actually want to talk about later in the show, but now would be a good time to talk about it because it's deeply, deeply concerning in regards to AI and the jobs it intends on taking over. This one coming from the Times. This one saying pretty much, I believe it was 40% of our jobs will be slowly taken over by AI very, very soon. Some of those tasks being carried out could possibly even include like healthcare workers. So yeah, most of the roles at risk, about 40%, involve all different kinds of drafted jobs that the AI will be taking over. Hiring is slowing down as well for paralegals, and it just kind of outlines programmers, others founded research. So it's outlining a whole bunch of jobs, but they're saying about 40% of jobs in the next upcoming years will be taken over by AI. And then also Amazon, this one was also deeply concerning. Let me pull this one up as well. This one outlining how Amazon is spending $50 billion on AI infrastructure for the U.S. government. Again, that is concerning. You know, you mentioned Bezos and all of that. I mean, the fact that they're dumping all of this money into this to replace American workers. You know, I've got family who lives in rural areas, and I mean, Amazon's their big employer. Now they're at risk of potentially losing their jobs to AI.
Yep.
And the U.S. government's getting involved in this too and bringing these jobs or bringing Amazon in on that front. I mean, what the heck are we doing here? How do Americans compete with this plus H-1B visas?
Separate yourself from the machine. Stop using Amazon. We all need to boycott Amazon. Stop using them. Because all you're doing is funding your own demise.
Yeah.
And Catherine Austin Fitz gave a speech about this in Palm Beach just this last week. Mm-hmm. I was happy to be there and listen to her. She's correct. She said she was talking to a bunch of wealthy conservatives from Palm Beach. She said, you're funding your own demise because you're all using banks. You're all invested in Wall Street and companies that are good returns, but they're destroying our country. And Amazon's one of them. Meta's another one of them. So we need to separate ourselves from them and you know, break the addiction to their platforms. I mean, I'm an Amazon Prime member. I need to cancel that. We all need to get off of Amazon and stop using it. Because otherwise, all you're going to do is speed up the technocrats' dream of a world where they depopulate the planet, and she's called it since 2020. She called it the plandemic back then and said it's the great colon. They needed labor for all this, you know, for centuries. They've used labor, people, because they needed them. But now with AI and robotics, they don't see any need for us anymore. They see us as useless eaters, like, you know, cattle that's no longer, I know, we're obsolete. So they want to depopulate the planet and live their lives as, you know, merge machine and man. You know, that's why they're transhumanist. That's what they really want to do. So we should accept reality. This is the actual goal of these technocrats, like Peter Thiel, for example, who worships, you know, has this fascination with setting the Antichrist. So he wants a world where, I believe, where he and his technocrat overlord buddies rule and the rest of us are just exterminated.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
No, I mean, I've heard, I don't know. I align with that too. It's so upsetting. You know, we have Mel Kay on the show often too, and she's got the same thing when it comes to all of this tech stuff. She's been trying to blow the whistle on all of this and try to get people to get interested in the topic itself, because it's one of the top ones when it comes to taking over this country, taking over. But her saying is that what's standing in the globalist way is our country, our constitution, and they're going to do whatever they can to take us out.
And so that's the people. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and we need to actually be paying attention to this. I don't think a lot of people are. I want to touch this topic too with you, because this one's is a really, really good one. And I don't think a lot of people, have been paying much in the way of attention to it. But Greg Abbott, all of a sudden, is now getting engaged.
Right.
And it's bizarre because he's been governor for several years now, but he's going after CARE, the Muslim Brotherhood, designating them.
He's going after them.
Yeah.
So he declared them a terrorist organization, which is accurate.
Yeah.
But from what I'm hearing from people that are paying attention in the legislature is that's really the legislative function in Texas.
Yes.
That it's just PR for the cameras. It's not really good. He's being sued by them, and they'll probably prevail in Texas courts for all the reasons we already talked about. But I think one of the problems is that this is just window dressing. From what I know, Texas has funded to the tune of millions the building of mosques through grants that they gave to all the different radical jihadist organizations in Texas to go build mosques. So on his watch, it's been going on for years now. And then all of a sudden now, when he's coming into an election cycle, is he declaring CARE and Muslim Brotherhood to be terrorist organizations. It's the same thing he does on the border. He'll have the dog and pony show of a barbed wire and floating barbed wire for that one little mile stretch of the Rio Grande in Eagle Pass, while the rest of the border is wide open. In fact, I flew with a film crew from InfoWars. We got in a private plane and flew the length of the Texas border years ago, showing Americans how wide open the border was. But all they see is what they see on Fox News. Oh, Abbott's strong on the border. Look at this, all this concertina wire. They don't realize that outside of the camera shot is wide open border. And that's the way he wants it. He's a governor of Texas. He could have sealed the border a long time ago. It's not sealed because he didn't want it sealed. The same is true for all the mosques being built in Texas. He's allowed the funding to go through. I mean, we don't get funding. I don't know any churches that get grant money to go build churches anywhere, but the mosques are being funded by Texas taxpayer money to go build. So I think it's just a dog and pony show.
Well, you know what they actually say in their defense, and this isn't me defending them, this is Greg Abbott's office saying in his defense that the money that we're seeing that was reported by the Rear Foundation that was getting funneled to these mosques, he's claiming, they're trying to claim that that money is money from DHS. Now, DHS is allocate money towards churches, temples, and mosques if there is a threat of terrorism. But what they won't tell you, though, is a lot of these mosques, and again, this is from just what I found in the Rear Foundation's uncovering and all of this, Amy Mack does a great job at digging through this.
Right.
She found that these mosques that we're giving this money to are the ones that are also welcoming Islamic terrorists in, deploy it safe. She's been calling that out for years. So while Greg Abbott continues to say, it's not my money, it's not Texas money, it's DHS who's giving it to us, and I have to split it up equally because obviously we have the First Amendment here, and that's what they were claiming.
We shouldn't be funding terrorists.
The idea is to prevent terrorism, and that was the idea of the money that was being given out.
Right.
But here they are giving it to people who are welcoming these terrorists allegedly in to their mosque, and they don't like us talking about it too. You know, there's another one too. They always go after Amy Mack, and I saw them at the Texas press conference announcing that lawsuit that you talked about, CARE specifically, and I believe it was an attorney that was at the press conference, called out Amy Mack specifically for her reporting, saying she's creating all this hate in this country, specifically in Texas, for exposing all of this. She's not doing anything like making up lies. We literally saw a video. She put up the video herself in her own reporting, where there was a mosque here. There's two mosques, actually. They had a speaker there. It's the same speaker in both sides. I'm not remembering his name. We play the footage here in the soundbite here on the show. But he's going out and telling Muslim men that they could hit their wives, but to be very strategic about it, where you don't leave a mark, but you're also trying to bring her back to her senses. And then he goes on to another mosque by saying, well, you could beat them, but just don't kill them. And all she's doing is taking their own words and posting it online, and they've declared her as a threat, and they're gunning for her. I mean, the fact that they're mentioning her name at press conferences tells me everything.
Yeah, if you speak the truth about Islam, about their own desire for Sharia, and you quote the clerics who are calling for Sharia law in the United States, they call you an Islamophobe.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just they don't want you. They're trying to suppress you speaking the truth. The same as if you call out CARE and call out Mossad for its operations inside the United States, they accuse you of being anti-Semitic. They don't want you even talking about it. So in this country, I don't believe Islam is compatible with our Constitution. I really don't. I don't believe it's a religion. I think it's a geopolitical, totalitarian government system.
Yeah.
Because you can't separate Sharia law from Islam. And you go back to, I think her name is Hirsh Ali, Ayan Hirsh Ali, who was a former, you know, Muslim from Somalia, who had suffered genital mutilation as a young girl, had fled an arranged marriage, fled to the Netherlands, now lives in the United States. She's now an atheist, but she speaks out and says, this is Islam. It's not radical Islam versus Islam. Yeah. It's Islam is Islam. And part of it, built into it, is a war on all non-believers and is imposition of Sharia law when they become a majority. And we're seeing that right now in Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah. And by the way, the video that we have up right now, this was based on Amy Meck's reporting. The mosque, I was talking about the speaker. This is the individual who came there and spoke about, you could hit your wives, but just be careful, when you do. Don't leave a mark. And this is the problem that we have here. And like you just said, I mean, this is, it's not only not compatible. They always use the religion excuse. I mean, you need to be able to knock that down because they're using our own constitution against us. And right. That's how they're being able to conquer those in the West. Specifically, they're going to start conquering us. I mean, we're losing major cities. New York City, obviously being a big one, to lose to Zohar and Madani. But I kept telling people, like, it's just the beginning. We're watching a pop-up too as well in Georgia. There is a couple of very key, they call themselves socialists, but they're communists.
Right.
And they're Muslims, and they are running for office. They understand how to defeat our system internally through our election process. And in fact, Zohar Mamdani is somebody who came to here in 2018, became a U.S. citizen in 2018, but the plan was back in 2014 to have him run for governor, I mean, New York City mayor. So they have a plan in place to conquer the West, and they're carrying it out, and it's just devastating to watch.
So they masquerade as leftists to get the leftist support. Keith Ellison did the exact same thing in Minnesota. He's a complete jihadist, but he masquerades as a leftist to get leftist support. In the end, though, they're laughing in their sleeve at the leftists. And, I mean, they can't understand this. I mean, they're gonna kill all the homosexuals, all the trans, all the rainbow coalition of sexual coalition is gonna be slaughtered when the Muslims take over.
Yeah.
But they're using them as useful idiots.
And the other thing, too, is I know a lot of people like to make a difference in Islam, like you said before, radical Islam, and then they just say these are Muslims who just practice a religion and they do so peacefully. Those individuals will also be slaughtered because they don't like the fact that they are not following it completely to the word.
Anyone who is a moderate Muslim is considered a heretic by the fundamentalists. And as Ayan Hirsh Ali points out, it's the radicals who are actually being true to the hadith, to the examples of the prophet's life and to his commandments to make war on non-believers.
Yeah.
And so they're actually the legit, you know, sincere Muslims are the ones that are radical and want to kill you.
Yeah. Well,
that's why we're going to have mass deportations of Muslims in this country.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line.
Yeah. And, you know, most of us understand it. I know that this is this is being spoken about now in more churches throughout this country. I think more people are understanding this and they're starting to make, okay, like we can't have, this is becoming an issue. I hope that we could save this country before, it's too late. I think I just ran it in Italy. They just put out statistics saying that like, 41% of their sexual assault cases are all due to their illegal aliens or the migrants that they've imported over the years.
Same in Sweden, same in France, same in the UK.
Right. Well, the State Department actually put out, I think it was Friday, we talked about it on this show, they put out a thread outlining how mass migration has destroyed the West, and they're outlining specifically each country. Now, I don't know what they plan on making of it, but I mean, at least the State Department is talking about it. I mean, they outlined the UK, France, like you just said, Spain, and they were going case by case to show how bad it's gotten. I mean, I think it was I think it was France, but no, I don't think so. I think it might have been Switzerland. When there was the individual who was charged, apparently he's Muslim, he was charged with rape, but he wasn't deported because the rape itself didn't last long enough, so they didn't view it as something that was that traumatic to her. And so he's being able to stay in the country. I mean, that case was outlined earlier this year as well. And so it's just like, at what point do these countries hit their breaking point? We go, enough is enough, and everyone start bonding together and start revolting.
Well, the people are reaching that point in the UK, I think in other countries as well. But their politicians have sold them out.
Yeah.
And I feel the same is true in our country, too.
Yeah.
So going back to Greg Abbott, on his watch, they funded the building of more mosques in Texas. And now he's trying to cover his tracks because he wants to be reelected. And by the way, I support Doc Pete Chambers as his opponent. I think Doc is a true blue patriot. Special Forces doctor. I'll link you guys up. Get him on your show.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I want to also, since you're here, obviously, get to the Seditious Six, that story that broke, obviously, earlier this week. President Trump going after the individuals, the senators, the congressmen who decided to come together and tell service members, if you deem that something is unlawful, an order that's given out, you don't actually have to comply with it.
That's true.
Well, I want to play this clip. I want to play clip 9.
Which is bizarre because that's what Oath Keepers advocated back then. They called us anti-government extremists for saying that. But now there's a conservative in the White House. Now they're saying it.
But let's listen to what Roger Stone said, because Roger Stone, and it actually, this got a lot of people's attention. Take a listen to clip 9.
But the larger question, Alex, the single most important question is, will there be prosecutions in the Southern District of Florida against Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Weissman, Mueller himself, Biden, Susan Rice, and those, including Barack Obama, who pulled off the greatest single dirty trick in American history, the greatest single abuse of power, the Russian collusion hoax. Now, we were all encouraged a couple days ago, when we heard that subpoenas had been issued. But I'm going to be honest with you, Alex, my sources tell me that there is no ongoing operation in the Southern District of Florida, that those subpoenas have not yet been returned, that there is not a grand jury looking at this. If that is true, that is very deeply troubled. They're trying to run out the clock.
Yeah,
I love this president. I support him unconditionally, but recognize that this is not about retaliation or revenge. This is about accountability and justice. And if those who pulled off the Russian collusion hoax, those who tried to destroy your life, Alex, those who tried to destroy the life of that great American patriot, General Michael Flynn, and his family, those who tried to destroy me, those who tried to destroy President Donald Trump, if they are not held responsible, if legal technicalities are used to give them a walk, Republicans will not turn out in this next midterm election. They will lose faith. I know the president wants justice. I know the president expects justice. I know the president believes his Justice Department is working on this. I spoke to him about it. He is committed to accountability and justice. But whether that will happen really remains to be seen.
I want to get your reaction to those comments he made, and then get your reaction to the Pentagon move later this week.
He's correct that the Crossfire Hurricane nonsense and the Russiagate nonsense is not being investigated. That's precisely because they have not purged out the old guard and the DOJ. The DOJ is now exactly like it was under Biden. The same people are still in power.
Mm-hmm.
They must be purged out. But disagree with Roger. I don't think that was the greatest crime in our nation's history, the greatest coup. 2020 was far more so than that. Mm-hmm. That was their attempt to stop Trump the first time. It failed, but they succeeded the second time. And it was far more damaging to our republic, including putting all those J6ers in prison.
Yeah.
So not only did they seek to ruin his life and Trump's life and all the names he mentioned, but also all of us. You know, myself, Enrique Tarrio, 18 years for me, 22 years for Enrique, 18 years for a lot of the other, like Joe Biggs, for example, got 18 years also, and all the other Oath Keepers have got 14 years, 7 years, 8 years. We were all political prisoners. We were all victims of the same exact people. So it's great to mention all the big wigs who are known to the public, but what about the rest of us?
Yeah. And those are the stories that I always try to focus on, because obviously we're all wronged.
But the message is that They are going to, if they come back into power, they're going to go after every single one of you out there. Every Trump supporter is going to wind up in a concentration camp or dead if they go back into power. That's why they must be stopped now when President Trump is commander in chief. So we got to pull the rose colored glasses off. It's not 5D chess like Marjorie Taylor Greene said. We have to get him to do his duty. You can't just say, oh, he's doing this because he's lulling them into a false sense of security. No, they are running. I do agree with this, what Roger said. They're running the clock out on him. They're going to delay, 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 and run the clock out like he did the first administration. That's why we've got a lot of fire under President Trump to get it done.
And I want to get your take on this because you saw earlier this week the Pentagon announcing Mark Kelly, they were going to start launching an investigation of him and going after him next. There was a video that Democrats posted online. I kind of want to get your take on this. We're all saying to service members that if you're given an order that you deem as illegal, you don't have to actually carry it through. That's obviously true. Ticked off the president. Yeah, let me hear your side of that.
No, it's true. That's what we were teaching the military because it's a fact, reminding them of their responsibility under their oath. This is not like Nazi Germany where the oath was to the Führer to obey him unconditionally. But under our constitutional order, the oath is to the Constitution. All of them take an oath to the Constitution also. Members of Congress, judges, everybody. The thing is, most of them are oath breakers. What's going on, though, of course, and Alex called it correctly yesterday, is what they're doing is they're playing a sleight of hand. They're pointing out something that is true. And members of the military can go look at UCMJ and see their responsibility to say no to blatantly unlawful orders. There's a presumption an order is lawful. But if you know an order is blatantly unlawful, like shooting women and children, for example, like happened with Lieutenant Colley during the My Lai massacre, or the gun confiscation during Katrina, where they went house to house and confiscated guns, was obviously, should have been obviously, an unconstitutional order. Yeah. That was a big wake-up call for us. We use that to say this is why we have to teach the military and police about the Constitution. So they're correct. Factually correct about that responsibility to say no to unlawful orders. But of course, they didn't give a damn about any of that while Barack Obama was in power or Biden was in power. And for us, the Oath Keepers calling out that that's the responsibility. They called us anti-government extremist, and they yelled and screamed that you're going to cause dissension in the ranks, that you can't have a lowly private deciding what's lawful or not. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. A private has an obligation and duty to refuse unlawful orders. So they're just playing hide the ball, though. Obviously, what they want is for the military to think that everything President Trump is doing is unlawful when it's not. So him sending the National Guard into big cities, for example, that are now sites of insurrection, direct violation of federal law, you know, attacking ICE agents, that's completely constitutional. And so that's why it's my responsibility and all of us to educate the troops about, hey, here are the bright lines. Here are the things that are not constitutional, and here are the things that are. And one thing that's not constitutional is CIA running domestic operations, which is what this is.
And that's a great point that you bring up because, again, it's them creating chaos and confusion. Right. And they do that very, very well. And we know that. And, again, they're not supposed to be operating here in the United States.
Right.
It's crazy that we're even talking about that. But that's exactly what it looks like, especially because one of them, the leader, I believe, on that video, I believe that she's got a CIA background. Am I
correct?
Okay.
And that's what we need. This is so frustrating.
Yeah.
That's why we need full exposure.
Yeah.
If you go in and you throw the doors open to the CIA and show all the internal, I'm sure they're arrogant enough to be using their own email system and their own text messages. Just expose all of that. You'll expose the actual intent and the actual coup that they're pulling. And this is window dressing for their coup. This is factually correct, like Alex pointed out. It's factually correct. But behind that is something you can't defend.
Yeah.
It's an indefensible coup.
Folks, you're doing a great job, by the way, Stuart, as trying to get this together, trying to bring back the Oath Keepers and trying to protect the American people and make sure the American people understand just that. Folks, if you want to help out his work, and I highly recommend you do just that, head on over right now to GiveSendGo because that's where he is collecting donations to keep this going. Head on over, GiveSendGo.com/oath. That's GiveSendGo.com/oath. And no donation is too small. Again, this is how you help his efforts to bring back the Oath Keepers and to make sure that our communities are prepared for whatever comes their way. Cause you know, something's cooking up these days.
Absolutely.
So we appreciate that. And again, you want to give out your website regarding for those who want to learn more about how they could join the Oath Keepers?
Yes. So it's oathkeepers.info.
Okay.
So we had oathkeepers.org back in the day, but I lost that one. Someone snapped that up while I was in prison. But now they want like $30,000 for it. So oathkeepers.info is a new website.
Oh, man, Stuart Rhodes, it's never ending. It's never ending. Thank you for joining me, of course. We appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
It's an honor to have you here in studio. And, folks, it's an honor to have you all with us. Of course, we are thankful to our audience. You guys have all kept us up and running, and we're very, very grateful for that. So happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Eat a lot. Not too much, though. Not too much. Alex is up next on The Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.